Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. And here we are 11 years after the staged terror attacks of 9/11 that were meant to bring a new dark age of tyranny over the Western world and then the rest of the planet. Staged false flag event 110%. I'm going to be reviewing some of the smoking guns of 9/11 today here. And I'm going to open the phones up in the first hour and try to actually go to your calls early in the first hour, specifically on 9/11. Now, we have to define what an inside job means. There is no doubt, that's even the cover of the New York Post, you know, Bush knew, that the government knew and ordered the FBI and others to stand down. But then as you research it deeper, you find out that they found magic passports that they hadn't really found. There was frame-up evidence. They announced Building 7 had fallen into its own footprint at free fall an hour before it fell on three different news channels, CNN, then to BBC. And then BBC said, that's not real footage. We're like, of course it's real footage. And then later, they admitted that, indeed, it was their footage. And then I predicted it was Reuters had sent them an internal feed because they have to get out ahead of a story, like, why is this building about to fall? And it turned out 2 years after we first exposed that, they're like, oh, yeah, it was a Reuters internal feed. Because I went and researched that BBC gets internal feeds mainly from Reuters, Thomson Reuters. And so that's where it was fed. You want to know who did 9/11? Find out who told the people at Reuters that information. Kind of like before Lee Harvey Oswald's name was even in the news or he was arrested. In Dallas back in 1963, Colonel Fletcher Prouty, the head of Black Ops, who'd been sent out of the country, he'd been sent to Antarctica. He was coming back through Australia and areas and sees the newspaper with Lee Harvey Oswald. You know, back in the old days, newspapers came out sometimes 10 times a day in major cities. It was like television at the time. And there was a, you know, extra, extra, read all about it. Lee Harvey Oswald kills JFK, president of the United States, dead. And then he goes and checks time zones when he gets back, and it wasn't even in the news yet. Wasn't in the U.S. news for hours. So they get caught screwing this stuff up, just like they got caught running drills of the exact same bus, exact same trains, at the exact same time, being bombed by the exact same jihadis on 7/7 in London. So this stuff comes out. They get caught. Now, are we saying the whole government did this? No, compartmentalized criminal groups. And we've got a pretty clear image of exactly what they did on 9/11. And then now, 11 years hence, no one can deny that this was used to destroy liberty, set up a police state that they now say is not pointed at darling Al-Qaeda. As the CFR said a month and a half ago, they said, quote, we need Al-Qaeda. They're good. And it's all over the news. In fact, I just saw one of the headlines here at Infowars.com while I was just talking. Every day, mainstream news, LA Times, Reuters, you name it, is like, yeah, they're using Al-Qaeda to attack Syria. In fact, I saw a CNN report early this morning when I got up about 5 a.m., and it was Al-Qaeda getting, you know, steam again, Al-Qaeda building itself up again now that it's got a foothold in Syria and Libya. I mean, the government wants to set up checkpoints on the highway saying there's terrorists everywhere, and they gave 10,000 missiles to Al-Qaeda in Libya. 2,000 of them heat-seeking or radar-guided. That means an aircraft's coming in or taking off, it's got its radar on. You fire that missile, it goes right into the radar cone on that aircraft. Or you got a cruise ship coming in that's got radar, right into the conning tower of it. Heat-seekers. Right into the engines. That'll end your day real quick. That's no easy day. We'll be back. It's 9/11.
We
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
The sands of time
for me are running low.
The sands of time for all of us are running low. Death could come at any moment. The only thing that lives forever is truth and justice and the continuation of life, the great struggle between those that promote lies and slavery and domination and those who have a dream for humanity to travel to the stars. It is 11 years after the tragic attacks of September 11th, 2001. It is September 11th, 2012, and no one can deny, regardless of what you think about those attacks, that A, they have been used to set up a modern East German-style police state in the Western world. B, that system is now being fully flipped onto domestic populations. C, we are being publicly told in every major publication, including CFR.org, Council on Foreign Relations, the real government in this country, they write the reports that Congress adopts, that the executive adopts, that Al-Qaeda is good and that we should work with Al-Qaeda. In fact, at about 5 a.m. this morning, I actually IM'd this CNN report. At 5:11 a.m., as you can see here on my iPhone, if you guys give me a document cam shot, I'll show people this looking, watching us on prisonplanet.tv. On 9/11, Al-Qaeda looks to Syria to revive its fortunes. And then right in front of us, like we're ignorant, like we're stupid, they tell us, though, that we have to continue to give up our liberties and give up our freedoms because Al-Qaeda is coming after us. And they can only do this in a vacuum of reality being derelict. This can only be done with a so-called informed population that is so disconnected from facts and common sense and logic. I mean, think about the magnitude of this. 11 years after those spectacular, theatrical, bloodletting events that happened, that was something out of a Godzilla movie where he destroys Tokyo, but in living high-def color and then replayed to us thousands of times and school children taught to hide under their desk because Osama bin Laden is coming to get them. And as I pointed out at the time, hey, Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA, British intelligence, Israeli intelligence, and Pakistani intelligence. And then I pointed out, hey, the Times of London and even Newsweek are admitting. They'll admit so much, but report it like it's no big deal. That they flew tens of thousands of Al-Qaeda and Taliban cream, was one term they used in the news, the leadership, and of course, before 9/11, wouldn't let Colonel Schaefer kill bin Laden when he was in drone sites, not once but twice, confirmed to be OBL. And then after, they have the 9/11 attacks, they send in the Northern Alliance, and Al-Qaeda goes and gets conscripts, an average of 14 years of age, digs them in outside Kabul and other cities, and then with the CIA has a staged attack. They even had a staged fake war where they then bombed all those trenches and killed all those teenagers, killed all those kids, while the real Al-Qaeda sat back living in hotels, not even underground, not being attacked. And special forces, this came out in the news at the time. You can go back and look at late 2001, early 2002, during the, quote, invasion and takeover of Afghanistan, where generals even went public. That's how we know. People say, well, somebody would talk if this was going on. They did. They said, look, we're told to leave him alone. We're told not to capture him. When we did capture the head of the Taliban, their head general with Al-Qaeda, we were told load him on C-130s, fly him over the mountains to Pakistan, and give him big chest of gold. Is there any question who these guys work for? And I'm going. Times of London, Newsweek, Associated Press, reporting this. It's not like it's some secret and people are going, oh, shut up, conspiracy theorist. And I'm like, no, no, here it is. It's not that the CIA created Al-Qaeda and they got out of control. They've always been under their control. In 1979, when Zbigniew Brzezinski set it up, you go see that movie, Charlie Wilson's War, whatever it's called. It says all that started in the mid-1980s. No, it didn't. It didn't start in 1983, 84, 85. It started in 79. Brzezinski's written two books about it, National Security Advisor to Jimmy Carter. Then they used the Al-Qaeda against the Serbs in Kosovo. And when the Serbs fought back, they said, oh, the Serbs are killing civilians. They went in, carpet bombed it with DU weaponry, including bombing Belgrade, which is in the north, blew up TV stations, you name it, blew up their energy grid, blew up their water grid, and then gave the South to Al-Qaeda, who are now on record this year. This was rumors 10 years ago. Now it's in the news that whoever's left, the Christian Serbs, they round them up and cut them open and have aircraft waiting, UN aircraft nearby at Pristina, and they fly out with their organs. Just type in KLA selling Serb organs. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. You cannot make this stuff up. And then they use Al-Qaeda again against Russia in Chechnya and other areas on record. And now they've used Al-Qaeda against Libya. They're the main brigade, the main leading force. They wear black uniforms with the Al-Qaeda patch. It's on Reuters. It's BBC showing them brigades in black uniforms with their patches, with their flags, lining up Christians and just machine gunning them. And it's back of the paper. Oh, look at our cute little Al-Qaeda, what they're doing. And I'm supposed to sit here and fly out of Austin Bergstrom Airport and have the manager walk over and go, you're Alex Jones, you're a troublemaker. And I'm looking at some gray-haired guy a few months ago. I mean, I'm describing bald head, you know, guy about 5'8", gray on his sides, obviously the manager. He goes, you're a troublemaker. And I'm going, come on, man. He starts chatting me down. I go, come on, man, the government runs Al-Qaeda. Come on. I mean, your boss has put the underwear bomber on the plane, and he didn't want people hearing that. He goes, all right, just get out of here. Oh, you don't want me to sit there and actually get back in your face. I'm supposed to play this game that bin Laden's hiding in my underwear when the U.S. government on record in congressional testimony admits the Undersecretary of State, Mr. Kennedy, testified, it's on YouTube, it's on C-SPAN.org, that the U.S. agency ordered the State Department to get him on the aircraft without a passport. Exactly what our witness, lawyer, now he's won the primary for Congress in Michigan, what our witness said a month and a half before it was admitted, came out in Congress. Okay, listen, I'm not playing the game with you anymore, okay? They planted two passports on 9/11 that supposedly survived the fireball. NORAD did stand down. There was a drill of the same targets being hit, just like 7/7 in London. They had a drill of the same targets being hit at the same time, so that the rest of the agencies pick up the chatter. They're told it's just a drill. If your operatives get caught doing it, you say it's a drill. I mean, you fund the attack through the drill. This is all a playbook, and I have to sit here and watch people go along with it. So what is the point of sitting here and going through the hundreds of smoking guns that I can cover today? I mean, I'll go through some of them, the top 20 or so, and get into a bunch of other news. But the issue is, I told you 11 years ago this would be used to go after libertarians, conservatives, constitutionalists, anti-globalists. Because that was already what all the manuals were for. We'd already broken all the ones under Clinton. We had the current ones. Bush was continuing it. We knew. Then, a year into the attacks, by 2002, we got the manuals of what they were teaching InfraGuard and all these citizen spy corps. And it was, none of it was about Al-Qaeda. It was all about, because people were getting mad at these meetings. A lot of them were anti-Muslim folks that really wanted to buy into the narrative. They go and they're learning how conservative libertarians are going to blow up federal buildings and how the founding fathers are bad and all this. And they're like, what? So that's why we got leaked all that information by police, federal marshals, FBI, state police, you name it. Good people. You get a room of cops in there and tell them George Washington's bad. They're like, you know, what planet are you from? So the point is that I knew this was going on behind the scenes. Now it's public. So regardless of what happened on 9/11, it's being used to take our freedom. By who? Not the government. The government itself has been hijacked by foreign banks who have announced a world government. I'll give you the number when we come back.
You look like an angel. Walk like an angel, talk like an angel, but I got one.
Zawahiri.
You're the devil in the sky.
Zawahiri. Here's an example of the total twilight zone I have now entered. During that break, I went back into the coffee room where we have a big television set on, either Fox, CNN, or CNBC. And there was the brother of Zawahiri. Reportedly, he was number one in Al-Qaeda at one time, who they claim they killed. They're always killing the same guy over and over again. Again, why don't they just pick new boogeymen? It's to practice getting away with incredible lies. And they were on there with the CNN reporter, and it just so happened Jacobson had a feeling and was recording it, because we have a DVD recorder in there and randomly record the news sometimes. He was recording it, so he thinks we have a tape of it. And, yeah, here it is. They just printed it. I saw this three minutes ago, ran around like a chicken with my head cut off, and the guys just found it. CNN, exclusive, Al-Qaeda's leader brother offers peace plan. Zawahiri's brother, I'm in there during the break, and they are breaking the news. I just can't handle this anymore, that Al-Qaeda is going to be our friend now. Ladies and gentlemen, Al-Qaeda always worked for the globalist. America's been taken over by megabanks. How are they going to get our liberties and get us to accept a police state? Say that a foreign shadowy group attacked us, set up a police state, and then flip it onto us, which they've now done. There's still time to turn this around. And I'll never forget Larry King Live, a week after 9/11, he had Prince Bandar, known as Bandar Bush, because he was such friends with the Bushes, on. And Larry King was running down bin Laden, Osama bin Laden, and bringing up the fact that his family was allowed, you got to give Larry King credit for that, to leave the country. When all their air traffic was shut down for 3 days, they were allowed to fly out on 18 flights. It was also on local Miami news. They'd call that a conspiracy theory when I raised it, even though it was on the news. They counted on you not knowing how to find it. And he was running down bin Laden, and Bandar goes, "You did not speak of him this way. He is hero in my country." And this is the Saudi Arabian ambassador to the U.S. Larry King knows he's not supposed to run down Saudi Arabia. That's one of the biggest owners of the media in this country, or at least investors. Not technically controllers, but to be technical, owners. And he goes, okay, all right. Well, tell us about bin Laden. And he goes into how great bin Laden is. Somebody's got to dig that tape up. I saw it. The point is that that's how ridiculous all this is. They got to make Al-Qaeda the hero in the Middle East, set up bases everywhere, and now is being used as a globalist invasion force to take over. So in a weird way, it's true when they say Obama wants to have Muslims take over. It's actually true. But it's not like all Muslims or he's a Muslim in doing it. A certain group out of Saudi Arabia, not just Sunnis, but a tiny minority group that dominates the 80% of Muslims that are Sunni. The globalists make deals with the most powerful. The Chinese, billion, several hundred million. They use them and slave labor to leverage out their competition and take over economically. Militarily, they build up the United States as the enemy of the Russians, while the globalists actually fund in both sides to have the U.S. be the physical muscle. But the Shock Force Arab Legion Brigade model, and that's what the British set up in around 1900 or so, right through 1920, they created Saudi Arabia and other areas. They called it the Arab Legion, the Arab Brigade. And then Hitler went in the 40s and took over these groups, and then CIA after that. It's who they used to overthrow Mohammad Mossadegh in 53 in Iran. So, and again, I'm moving quick here. I don't talk to you like you're an idiot and hold up an Al-Qaeda puppet and go, this is the bad man. And you, what are you going to do? I'm going to give my rights up. That's right. And what are you going to do? Let the TSA stick their hands down my pants. I mean, I don't talk to you like you're a five-year-old, ladies and gentlemen. Look, this isn't that hard to figure out if you're a new listener, okay? The British intelligence, when it was the big empire, created radical Muslim sect of highly militarized, vicious, brave people, some of the Bedouins in Saudi Arabia, which wasn't even Saudi Arabia then. They let them take over. They've used them ever since. It's very simple. Now they're getting ready to put Al-Qaeda to bed and say they're good guys now. End that fake war. And start the new war where they let them take over all these major countries, including the countries surrounding Russia. And they're now going to be the good guys attacking Russia, and I'll be called a commie Russia lover if I don't support Al-Qaeda. And so will you. Toll-free number on 9/11 calls. What you think the biggest smoking guns are? 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Have your question ready. We'll move to the next person, hopefully. Get a lot of people in here. Oh, by the way, the government now admits the dust was deadly. They knew it. They covered it up. I mean, again, they're just criminal murderers. We'll be right.
You walk into this room at your own risk because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history. Since the beginning of time, it has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the super states that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
We are live. How do you take a once free society with a Bill of Rights and Constitution, an example of liberty and freedom of the world? How do you take that country and make it an example of tyranny for others to emulate? Well, you blow up a bunch of buildings. You have one plane hit, so all the cameras aim at it. Then another one comes in. Then you blow up those buildings. The command center, the CIA command base, Building 7, 400 yards away. That's where you're running the attacks from. You blow it up and tell people fires did it. Falls into its own footprint. But you screw up. You announce it's fallen in its own footprint an hour before. And then again 25 minutes before. And then the police say, yeah, we've been told they're going to blow it up, get back. And I heard it on NPR, I heard it on CBS radio. I told people about that for years. And finally, the news began as internet space got cheaper by 2005, 2006, dumping all those old archives on. And people found archive after archive on CBS, NPR, CNN, BBC of exactly what I said I heard that day while driving to get a pizza. Because I've been on air from 9 a.m. or so that morning right through to about 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern. I drove down to Mr. Gaddy's, or was it Conan's, right down the street from my house. It was Conan's pizza, and I'm driving, and I'm listening to CBS, and they're saying, yeah, Building 7, Solomon's Brothers, they don't want it to fall and damage other buildings. They're going to control demolition and so they can control its fall. And by the time I go in, get the pizza, drive home 5 minutes to get in, they're like, Building 7 has fallen. It's fallen in its own footprint from fires by itself. And I'm like, so I ran back in because I was doing guest hosting and commentary on all the shows on Genesis right through to like 2 in the morning that night. And I ran in at about 5 o'clock my time, 6 o'clock, New York time, about 30 minutes after they'd blown it up. And I was like, did anybody hear that? Did anybody see that? And callers were like, yeah, it was on our local news. And then the CNN footage and others started coming out of the cops going, get back. They're going to bring it down. Boom, boom, boom. And the blast squids. I mean, Building 7 really is the smoking gun. And they said, oh, it didn't fall at free fall, because physicists had said it's impossible with fire to have something fall free fall. No building's ever fallen from fire, period. Or all you need to demolish one's a Bic lighter. And sure enough, they've made them change the insurance actuaries now nationwide to say, well, now fire can bring down buildings. Now, they've had literally more than 50 big skyscraper fires since then, some that burned for a week, 500-foot red-hot flame, white-hot flame shooting out in China, shooting out in Brazil, not even built to U.S. standards. Nothing collapses but the ceilings and things. None of the big steel structure even melts. First, they said it all melted. And they said, well, that's impossible, so it weakened. Well, we've got the footage from Tower 1 and 2 of white-hot metal pouring out before they collapse, like lava. And we have the firefighters. Well, we have the NASA aircraft photos. 6 weeks after, the temperature in the rubble was 1,000 degrees above what jet fuel can burn at with an oxygen tank blasting on it. You can have a setup to basically blacksmith injecting air in, and you can't get it up to that. They use some really high-tech stuff. We got the firefighters saying, yeah, we dug down in there weeks later, and it was like lava pouring down. And we have other clips of firefighters who went in there after the planes had hit. They're way down in the bottom, and they're like, there was like lava. 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 Your big, hot oak fire in your fireplace with that iron grate that melts a lot easier than steel, coke steel, constructural steel, does it even get red? Very rarely, maybe right on the edge where all the coals are at. And when it does get red hot or white hot, does it melt? No, it doesn't. And they had the whistleblower inside Underwriting Laboratories go public, Mr. Ryan, and say, hey, we did internal studies. Said it was impossible. They told me not to go public with it. I'm going public. Boom, fired. And then the media spun it. Mr. Jones is saying firefighters blew up the towers and police. No, they were just told, get back. I've interviewed. I've gone and found in New York, had them on the show, the police officers who were on the video on local TV and on CNN when they're saying get back, who heard the countdown. They were just told, get back, it's coming down, and then heard the countdown over the radio. The government even had a countdown before they blew the towers up. It's all in my film, Terror Storm, A History of Government-Sponsored Terrorism, second edition. Because I did a second edition because right after the film came out, they came out with all the news about Building 7 and everything. Yeah, there's the USGS heat maps that we're showing on screen of up to 3,000 degrees up to 6 weeks later in the towers. Now, are you going to buy into any of that, ladies and gentlemen? Again, and I told you they were going to use it to take our rights, and now they admit they run Al-Qaeda. We're not saying the FBI agent down the street is involved. We're not saying the state police officer down the street's involved. We're not saying a bureaucrat's involved. We're not saying the Congress people on average are involved. Bush didn't want to testify to Congress under oath. They had to have a closed session. Something like this, a lot of evidence shows Bush himself probably didn't even know. Criminal mole elements at the highest levels. Cheney, 1 month before 9/11, changed the 1957 NORAD parameters for the first and only time, stating and issuing the order. It's public. With the Pentagon protection seal on it and everything, that NORAD was to stand down during a hijacked missile attack, aircraft as a missile, and that no one in NORAD had the power to shoot down aircraft anymore, even though they'd always had that power as a one-star general or admiral and above, or their designate on duty. Aircraft's coming into the city, aircraft's coming into the base, shoot it down. That's a default position. They had missiles on top of the Pentagon. They don't want you to know about that. That's on record. They did drills that day of it being hit to make everybody stand down. They hit the area they were constructing on. The aircraft did maneuvers that no pilot could do, and mainline fighter pilots and commercial pilots have gone public. Had to be computerized guided. White hot flash. Everyone reported smelling cordite. I've interviewed witnesses that survived inside where the FBI came in and told them, you didn't see this, you didn't see that. All of this is going on, ladies and gentlemen. And then Cheney, 1 week after 9/11, rescinded the order and gave the shoot-down power back to the military. The military, when they finally released the 9/11 tapes, you've got the FAA, you got NORAD going, I've never seen so many simulations and drills live time. Wait, I just lost control of my screen. They were deleting the inputs so they couldn't track them. They ordered the F-16s to fly at stall speed. All this came out. Do you know what it's like to be informed? I could go on. I have over 500 smoking guns here just in the stack right over here. I'm going to cover some of them tonight on the nightly news. I'll get to some of them today as well, but I want to go to your phone calls. And I'm going to go over some briefing points as well. There's 20 of them that I think are important to cover, but we'll do that in the next hour. And I've got a bunch of other news that I want to hit as well. A 16-year-old questioned by FBI over pro-Ron Paul YouTube video. Yeah, that's on drudgereport.com. That's our Infowars.com Paul Watson article. Another Al-Qaeda boogeyman brought back to life from the dead and killed off again. News deflects from scathing reports to U.S. drone use. We're going to get into where the AP says they've killed somebody they claim they've killed before, and they never retract the last story. And then again, I just said I saw this during the last break, and they found it on CNN. Imagine, I'm there getting coffee, and it's like, a peace deal with Al-Qaeda may be reached. And I'm like, what? CNN reports Al-Qaeda wants to work with America. Right? And in the segment leading out, I said they're getting ready to give Al-Qaeda a facelift and say they're good guys, and now say the new enemy is libertarians and conservatives and patriots and anti-globalists. And now it's happened. Exclusive, Al-Qaeda leader's brother offers peace plan. Okay, let's go to your phone calls here. Let's talk to Derek in Tennessee, a 1470 AM WBCR listener. Welcome, sir. Thanks for holding.
God bless you, Alex Jones.
Well, God bless you, my friend. What's on your mind?
Well, over the weekend, I saw my sister back in Missouri and my dad, and I was, you know, the conversation, I can't not talk about this stuff. Once you learn about it, you have to talk about it. And I said, all you got to do is go in and look at three pictures, the picture of the Pennsylvania field, the picture of the Pentagon, and then a picture of a 737 crash somewhere else in the world. I can't get them to even do that. But those are my big smoking guns where I get started.
And, of course, in every other big jet air crash, it's over a mile or more. There's people everywhere, fuselage. But we have even the police who were on the scene go, yeah, we couldn't find anything. It was a hole in the ground. And the other state police said, no, we saw F-16s. Chasing it, and they shot it down.
Yeah, well, where's the debris? I even know a gal here in Knoxville that used to be a airline stewardess, flight attendant. She says she had a former flight attendant go down in that field and died in that crash, and they won't believe anything that I try to tell them about it.
Well, you know, I remember hearing this and not believing it on the day of 9/11, and then it came out in the local news. that they landed another Flight 93 and got everybody off at a NASA hangar. What was that, in Pennsylvania? I mean, that's what I, and it was actually in the local news. I just, man, we're talking Twilight Zone. And then you read Operation Northwoods, the Pentagon plan to hijack jets and fly them into things, but by remote control, and have the other jet with the same tail numbers land and have CIA employees get off. They wanted to use deep cover CIA civilian employees that they had embedded in society. This was in 63 they wanted to do this, to claim they'd all died, then sheep dip them and give them new identities, just so they could say, hey, look, real people died. And you notice all those aircraft had right at 22% occupancy, so they set it all up that day so they wouldn't have to fake the deaths of that many people. I mean, we pretty much know what they did. I don't like to speculate, but if you look at Northwoods, it's pretty clear. What do you think about the magic passports, not one but two, surviving out of their clothing, out of the fireball, out of the building, to 6 feet of dust and rubble on the ground, and being found that day by the FBI? Do you believe that?
It's just, it's ridiculous is what it is.
They also found one at Shanksville, Pennsylvania.
Yes, I heard that too. I hadn't heard about the 6,000 degree temperatures those 6 weeks after that. They were at the
No. It was more like 3,000, which is about over 1,000 degrees. If you heard 6,000, you misheard, or I misspoke. It was 3,000.
I misheard, probably. Well, hey, that's all I wanted to say. God bless you, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you calling. Scott in Idaho. Scott, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, even though my republic's basically been sacrificed on the altar of the 9/11 hoax.
Can you say ominous parallels?
Yes, ominous parallels.
To Germany in 1939, I understand that you read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich.
Yeah, you're talking about Operation Gleiwitz, which is part of Operation Himmler?
That's right. And you asked earlier, what's the point in going over all this? The point is, the gas chambers at Auschwitz and the adjoining crematoria, viewed from a short distance, weren't sinister-looking places. It was impossible to tell what they were. Over them were well-kept lawns with flower borders, signs at the entrances that simply said baths. The unsuspecting prisoners thought they were simply being taken to the baths for the delousing, which was customary at all camps.
Well, it was the same thing in the Soviet camps that the Nazis modeled a lot of it off of. They were really prisoner of war camps, which were modeled off of the reservations here, which were prisoner of war camps. And, they would tell them that, you know, everything was fine. We're taking you somewhere for you to be safe. And now under the Emergency Centers Establishment Act, it says, oh, during the collapse, we'll have these camps for you, but there will be re-education, though. We will have to re-educate you and make sure you're not a troublemaker. Mm-hmm.
We're going to the baths, Alex. Beautiful Viennese Parisian operetta music.
You know, I did read that they would play them happy music. But that means it's happy. I mean, it's, you know.
Our problem is, Alex, we're just not drinking enough fluoridated water or eating enough toxic foods, all of which has been deemed to be safe by the same government that told us what happened on 9/11. They don't have to march us to the gas chambers, Alex. They're bringing the gas chambers to us with the chemtrails, with the environmental toxins, nuclear radiation.
And telling us it's all good. I appreciate your call. Last night, I was exercising, and then I went to get a salad for dinner because I was already so late getting out of work and then going to exercise that I wasn't going to get to see my children. So I pulled into a restaurant. And I was eating a blue cheese wedge salad as my dinner. And everyone at the bar where I was eating was a listener. There were about six people at the bar. They were all listeners, all of them. Which, again, just statistically, this is happening all over the place now. I mean, I can't even gauge how big our audience is. But I'm not bragging. The point is, it's good news. The word's spreading. And this fella comes over with his friend. He goes, hey, I'm a longshoreman. It's not really time for me to retire, but I'm close enough. I'm getting out because they're trying to force me to take an anthrax shot, and he knew all about it, how they did two rounds with the military that killed a bunch of people. Their own doctors said no, it was a experimental, you can't make military take that. But he said, well, we're under a Navy contract, so they just say you're fired if you don't. So I said, I quit. And he was talking about all the health issues, people that took them. I mean, folks, it doesn't even protect you, the smallpox shot, because you can't. That's for a bacteria that's going to replicate most vaccines, but generally they're for viruses. They work better with viruses. Anthrax is like a plant-based bacteria, basically. It's spores. So there's no way to really make a vaccine for them. But the point is, they know that. Bioport up in Michigan, you know, that got suspended and all that. They've given it to people two separate times, and it's killed a bunch of people. And he knew that, but it's come to the point now, okay, well, you're fired. Well, I quit. And I was talking to him, and I saw this military guy with his wife listening to everything we were saying. You could tell he was in the military, haircut, his bearing. He looked all freaked out. And I was just thinking about all these nurses I know who go in now and they go, all right, there's 15 shots you got to take or you're fired, or you got to wear a mask like you're, you know, a bad person. And then the flu shot makes you get a double the chance the next year of getting the flu. Does it protect you from that year's flu? That's all come out in the news. Big companies have been caught adding stuff to it to make you sick. I mean, yeah, they're lining us up and killing us. I mean, it's just so, and now they're getting ready to make the police and first responders take all this stuff. You guys said no in 2002. You better say no again. Coming up in the third hour, after we've taken a bunch of your phone calls, gone over the 20 smoking guns of 9/11 out of more than 500 I have, and covered the big news of the day, we're going to do two different reports. One with Linda West breaking down the police state and talking to people, one of our new great reporters. And Aaron Dykes went to Germany and went to the birthplace of the Illuminati. He has an amazing report. We're going to premiere here. We premiered it last night on InfoWars Nightly News, but premiere it for the radio audience here in the third hour today. So that is coming up. Also, don't forget, we are listener-supported radio. We are not supported by the globalists. We're supported by our great sponsors. And we are supported by our listeners buying subscriptions to see the radio show and the nightly news show and all my films and so much more. There's like 17 years of material. We've had the site 9.5 years, prisonplanet.tv or InfoWarsNews.com. We'll also get you there. We have 15-day free trials. Each membership is $5.95 a month. It's really six memberships. You can have six people log in simultaneously with the same username and passcode if you choose to share it. Nobody can beat that deal. That comes down to less than a dollar per membership per month, $12 per membership a year, roughly, or a little bit less. So prisonplanet.tv. Also, get together, organize, and meet other patriots, whether it's for shooting clubs or dating or activism, at planetinfowars.com. Amazing articles getting written over there as well. planetinfowars.com. You can get lost over there in that labyrinth of liberty. planetinfowars.com. Two words together, planetinfowars.com. And we do have the best gravity-fed filters out there, bar none. What I use, what my family uses, ProPure at infowarsstore.com with 10% off with the promo code WATER. You cannot beat that deal. PlanetInfoWars.com, the social network, and then, of course, InfoWarsStore.com to find the books, the videos, everything, and the ProPure water filtration, Life Straw, Mitophilin, and for the best vitamins and minerals I've found for full-spectrum health, you will go to InfoWarsHealth.com, and all of your purchases fund the information warfare revolution. We will restore the republic. Sam in California, thanks for holding. It's 11 years after the inside job. Do you disagree with me? Do you agree? What do you think the big smoking guns are?
Alex, of course I agree with you. As a human being, when something happens, any event, we try to find a logical explanation. It's our natural instinct. You know, when a meteor hits the ground, we look for a crater and so on. And, you know, with 9/11, there is so much evidence that is overwhelming, and most people that I try to speak to about it just almost shut down and they can't absorb it. They just psychologically, it's too much for them. And, you know, you got to think about it psychologically. We're saying something that's challenging their whole entire belief system. So if we can break the code of 9/11 psychologically and actually I'm no expert, but you know, you have to explain to people who had something to gain from this. What powers are influential enough to pull off something like this?
Who stands to gain? Who had the means? And then look at the evidence. Bingo, it's the number one suspects, a military-industrial complex owned by foreign banks who's been caught doing false flags over and over again. and planning them, i.e. Things like Operation Northwoods. But what you've said is so key. We've got to take the myth of 9/11 that's been used to kill our republic, and we've got to destroy that myth. And we've really done that. 2 years ago, the media was like, we don't want to cover it now. We want to drop it because they can't really use it. Now they're saying, oh, Al-Qaeda's friendly. They're our friends. It's the American people are the terrorists. That's what this police state's for. So they're hoping we forget that. They want to get off the narrative of 9/11 because it hurts them so bad. Stay there. I want you to be able to finish your points, and we'll get to others back in 1 minute. We have the second hour and then third hour straight ahead. But yes, either the 9/11 hoax is destroyed or we're destroyed.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we've got financial news. We've got the feds now admit they knew that the dust was deadly. Really, criminals? We don't need you to admit that. We know you're criminal murderers, total scums, filth of the earth. We'll explain why they did that. I remember the New York Post attacking us, saying those of us promoting, you know, getting the firemen, police, and others help were bad, and that the police, firefighters, and emergency workers were ambulance chasers. Really, a bunch of them have died of cancer already, and the CAT scans for major universities admit that they're full of asbestos and everything else, but whatever. Again, you're seen as scum to them. They want to use you. Like, oh, look at the heroes. And by the way, the heroes support our agenda of sticking our hands down your pants and launching wars and spying on you without warrants because of Al-Qaeda. Now they're like, forget about Al-Qaeda. You're the terrorist. Terrorists is everywhere. And movie theaters have a responsibility to keep you safe. That's why they're filing suit against the movie theater. The police don't have any liability to protect you. The movie theater doesn't have any liability to protect you. The airline doesn't. You do. Any government that claims it's going to protect you is going to deliver you into a police state that is the greatest danger. And now they're going to put, the TSA saying, body scanners and stuff in shopping malls and at theaters. This is the new prison state. See, you're like, well, people just won't fly. You know, we're going to break the TSA. That's why they don't care. It's an agenda. They don't care if $40 billion is lost in terrorism. They don't care if it destroys the government's name. They know you know they're criminal at the top. They're going ahead with it. You're going to face scan if you're going to buy or sell. A lot of atheists are like, cool, Christians don't like it. I can't wait to do it. You can't wait to be charged $5, $10 every time you use your face scan. You can't wait to have everything you do tracked and controlled. You're like, no, I have nothing to hide. It's not that you have something to hide, Dumbo. It's that corrupt groups have always used stuff like this to enslave you. Hey, I have nothing to hide. Why do I care if they're listening to me? Bad governments listen to you. It always goes bad. There's going to be stuff they want to take. They're going to want to shut your company down because it'll make their insider buddies more money. It's like somebody walking down the street in the worst part of town at 5 a.m. with money sticking out of their pockets going, I have nothing to hide. Yeah, we know you don't have anything to hide. You're going to get knocked on the head, Dumbo. You'll find out. Jim, we're going to go to you in a minute, but first we're talking to Sam in California. Finish up the points you were making, sir. We're going to go to break and come back with more calls.
Alex, in closing, I just really want to plea with everyone to stay vigilant. You know, support your local radio stations. Support local. Support Alex and InfoWars, because honestly, without InfoWars, I would see myself still being asleep, not awake, not ready for anything. And it's interesting how there hasn't been one agency at all that recreated, at least like on a smaller scale, 9/11 to see if, you know, jet fuel does melt steel. Let's get to the bottom of these simple.
Well, Underwriter Laboratories did do it. And then they told their scientists, their engineers, don't release the findings. Kevin Ryan did, and it's impossible. It didn't even weaken the steel.
Of course, but, you know, we need to get that on video and show it to these simpletons that are still asleep. Because, you know, if they were at least logical enough to question it themselves, then we
would. But I mean, I agree with you, but I don't even debate that. They're on tape saying Building 7 has fallen when it hadn't. And it fell on its own footprint from fire as a total collapse, which it later did. It's a script. And then you got the cops going, get back. They're bringing it down. You go to the cops. You say, who told you that? Well, we went to the cops. We went and found him in New York. Guys that are on TV, and they're like, and people that were there, and they go, all we know is they said get back, and it came over the radios, and then a countdown. And you heard the countdown. Yes, I talked to police and EMPs who heard it. I mean, they heard it. The city managers were out there, and it was a countdown. Also, the Red Cross was in on it. People were like, Red Cross? Oh, yeah, they're CIA folks. They've always been. They're above CIA. That's why. Who do you think they use who can go into any country? They've got diplomatic immunity. They can go in any country anytime they want. And you don't want the Red Cross saying you're bad. The Red Cross is total New World Order. Well, look at their symbol, the Red Cross.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're here going head up against the globalists and their dragon. We will stand against the tyranny. We will bear testament to the cashless society technocracy control grid, to the chem and bio weapon attacks being carried out through the food, the water, in the air we breathe. We will awaken humanity out of the deep slumber that they're in. I am your host, Alex Jones. And if you just joined us for the first time, you have found it. The very tip of the spear when it comes to awakening humanity. And I tell you, I'm going to continue with your phone calls here on this September 11th broadcast, 11 years after the tragic event that no one can deny has been used to take our liberties. And now CNN is reporting that NATO and the Pentagon are looking at doing a peace treaty with al-Qaeda. The CFR is saying al-Qaeda is doing a good job attacking Assad in Syria, telling families that they're going to blow up their children in the house if the father doesn't drive a truck into a police station. All of this is coming out. CNN reporters are quitting. We covered that yesterday, saying that when governments massacre people in Bahrain, they're told to cover it up. They're told to cover up al-Qaeda massacres on the other side. I mean, this just shows you how dumb the power structure thinks you are, that they're now saying al-Qaeda is good 11 years later. Well, I told you at the time, it was even in the news then, but they didn't report it like it was a big deal. It was like, oh, yeah, U.S. generals and colonels are complaining that they were ordered to fly, you know, thousands of al-Qaeda and Taliban leaders to safety to Pakistan and give them chest of gold. It was called the Airlift of Evil. Look it up. You can just type in Airlift of Evil, Afghanistan, and it'll be Times of London, you name it. And I made films about that. I freaked out about that. They're like, oh, that conspiracy theorist says al-Qaeda is working for the globalists. I mean, I didn't say that. They used them against the Russians, the Serbs. They used them against us to take our liberties. They're using them against Libya, against Syria. They are the big jihadi army. And so we're talking about the smoking guns. Now, coming up in the next hour, is America still free 11 years after 9/11? Our own Linda West goes out to report, and that report will be filed here on air. I've seen it. It's pretty darn powerful. It's great for the radio listeners to hear the audio, but even more powerful if you see the video. You can see the video, follow along with us on the radio at prisonplanet.tv. But never fear, radio listeners. Prisonplanet.tv members all get the video first and in higher quality, but we archive almost 90% of it or more at YouTube for you within a day or so and then post it on Infowars.com and Prisonplanet.com. But it is the Prisonplanet.tv members that do pay it forward and really do support this exploding alternative media system that we've built that we call Infowar. All right, let's go ahead and also tell you about Aaron Dykes went to Germany to visit the birthplace of the Illuminati, and he's going to file that report, video/audio, very powerful, coming up in the next hour as well. We're continuing with your calls. I will go over the 20 smoking guns of 9/11, and I'm going to have Paul repost this as one of the top stories later at Infowars.com, or perhaps I'll have Kurt Nimmo do that as well. But bottom line, criminal elements are allowing terrorists to attack, or in some cases staging attacks or provocateuring attacks. Sometimes they provocateur, that's the most common, just get crazy people and hype them up to do low-level asymmetrical attacks. Then they also let things happen, which is actually a very rare type of attack. Most terror groups, even though they don't know it, are funded by Western intelligence to have full spectrum dominance. You got to have a dance to be able to dance. You got to have a partner. You got to stage something to have a war and control the economy and take the liberties. And then there is, of course, which is the most devastating and highly organized. That's where government purely carries it out and then burns patsies. You see that in Operation Northwoods, Operation Gladio. You see that in many other programs. And you see that in the USS Maine blown up in 1898 to blame the Spanish. Hitler's Reichstag, Hitler's Operation Himmler at Gliwice, staging terror attacks to blame on the Polish government. That's been declassified, brought out in the Nuremberg trials. The idea of inside job false flag is now known. So who stands to gain? Corrupt interest from staging attacks or letting them happen. From all the research we've done, 9/11 was a purely staged, manufactured event. Wasn't provocateured, didn't let it happen. They've tried to spin it in Congress and in the New York Post and say, oh, they knew and let it happen. Because they've been caught knowing it was happening and standing down and ordering the FBI, who was not involved, to stand down. The deputy director quit over it. He was killed on 9/11. And looked that up, Mr. O'Neill. This is very small groups at the top. Through compartmentalization and need to know, control this entire operation. And if people can't understand this, let me give you two movie analogies, and I'll go back to your calls. With your smoking gun or your take 11 years later on how this has been used to kill our republic. Let me use a little more not as popularly known. I mean, it was a big movie, but not a mega hit. Final Fantasy. A meteor crashes into the earth carrying these entities that are from basically another dimensional shift, so you can't really see them. And most of the Earth's population has been wiped out. There's a space command in orbit. There's a few cities left on the ground, a few dozen. New York's the biggest. And this general wants to basically take over, the head of the space defense, because he wants to shoot the meteor core to try to get rid of it. But they found every attack only makes it stronger. Again, Final Fantasy, it's a pretty good movie. It's new agey, but the point is, it's got a good plot. So the general wants to let in a few of the entities through the shields so he can say, see, I'm right, we've got to attack them. Ends up destroying all of New York. That's a false flag, okay? It's a frame-up. I don't know how I'm supposed to explain this. They said it was a conspiracy theory for 40 years. It was never a conspiracy theory that the Gulf of Tonkin in 1964 was staged. It became a rumor because people like Telephone didn't have the San Diego Herald Tribune. About 6 months, you can pull this up on microfilm, it's online, you can look it up. About 6 months after that event happened that officially got us into the Vietnam War, the ships get back, and a captain and some others were asked by the media, and they said, morally, we're not going to lie, we were not attacked, in two separate events. Then it becomes a game of telephone. Where, oh, I heard it didn't really happen. So it becomes a big rumor. Okay? But on the 60th anniversary, 2004, was it 50th anniversary? It's 40th. Okay, I'm doing my math now. On the 40th, teleprompter free, folks. On the 40th anniversary of 1964, 2004, they released the audio, and I sat there. We actually broke it. And I played it on the air, and then finally some media picked it up. I'm not bragging we broke it. It just shows how lazy media is. I sat there one night, all night. My wife came down at like 6 a.m., and she said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I had to find it. I'd always heard it was in these transcripts. And there was LBJ with McNamara. And I guess it's like when you're, from what I've heard potheads do, when they're like on the phone with their buddy wanting some weed, they're like, hey, can you bring the coffee by? Or, hey, can you bring the paint by? Or, oh, yeah, it's really good green stuff. And they're sitting there. He's at his ranch outside Austin. And McNamara's up at D.C. And he's like, okay, now tomorrow there's going to be an event like the other one. The press is going to be there. You just come out and you say this and this. And then you kind of, you know, act like you don't know what's going on. And then the next day, well, we've played the tape. Everybody's heard it. The point is that then you come out and say, well, they got to do something. We got to have a resolution. And coming up, there'll be another attack. It's going to happen tomorrow. And so, then you hear the president sitting there taking his orders. Okay, so I say this. So I went and listened through hundreds of hours, you know, fast forwarding of these McNamara things they put on C-SPAN. You know, the full 40 years later declassified. And you've got to listen to it every time the tape loops over. It's so old it goes, and it's real bad audio. But you can hear the president going, sitting there while all of this is being recorded. Okay, so there you go. That's what's going on. That's what's happening. I said I'd go to your calls. Let's take a bunch of them. But that's what we're talking about. This is real. This was staged. And later I'll tell you, we know it's staged. We know the official story is a lie, but we've reverse engineered. It's one thing to know the official story isn't true, but it's hard to find out exactly what they did. But I've done deep research and have a pretty good idea of the most probable of what really happened. I'll cover that at the start of the next hour and go through the 20 smoking guns. Jim in California, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks, man. Hey, I was turned on to you, actually, at a 9/11 roundtable that you did on Coast to Coast years ago. And it was, I mean, it was probably one of the best radio programs that I had heard on that show. And what we've learned so much since then, I think that, you know, with Jesse Ventura and now even George Norrie featuring Dr. Judy Wood, I wondered, when are you going to bring her on and have a serious discussion about her work, because she's quite the academic, and I just have always
I hear you. I hear you, and I appreciate your call. I don't really know Judy, and I haven't read her book. But immediately, the space beam energy weapon crowd came out and was real aggressive. Not even so much her, but others. You better cover this, or we're going to, you know, expose you. And then I saw one of the former Bush administration officials just do some things that I knew was meant to discredit everything. They were really trying to. So I'm not saying she's like that, but the whole thing, when people try to ram stuff down my throat, I get my hackles up. You know, it's like one time I was, you know, going to a gun rally here, and I showed up and people said, "You're not welcome to speak here," but my audience was all there. And so I said, "I'll do whatever I want." You know, I mean, I'm kind of the type of guy where if somebody tells me this is the way it is, whether they're a cop out of control, a bureaucrat, or anybody else, or a citizen, I kind of bow up. But there was just a whole controversy of infighting over bombs in the buildings versus space beams. And all I know is explosive residue was found. You can see blast squids on 7. I want to discuss the police saying, "Get back, they're blowing it up." You know, that, I want to discuss the hardest info, not create a whole fight over, you know, really complex things that can't be proven one way or the other. There you go. In the last 11 years since 9/11, and of course I predicted the attacks, 9/11, saying they'd blow up the World Trade Centers, blame it on their asset Bin Laden, and launch attacks in Afghanistan. I can see the preparations. Really, about a year before 9/11, and then 6 months before, I was saying they're going to stage terror attacks. And then by July 25th, 2001, I was able to break it all down on record that I saw that coming, because I saw the media preparing everyone for the attack. Since then, I've seen real attempts to create fissures and divide and conquer in the liberty movement or in the historical, you know, of societies, about which area is most important to investigate. We've looked at it all. But when you have groups that from the beginning make it about infighting and attacking other researchers, I run from that. Because in this society, so many people that I've worked with, built up, put them on the map, believe that if they could ever, I'm not talking about what the caller called about earlier, if they could ever bring me down, that they would suddenly be big. I mean, it's crazy, folks. I have helped people in ways that are unbelievable. And then the things they make up, the things they do, the things they say, it's just shocking what goes on. But that's not just in the media. That is all across the board, a general sickness in society. What I try to do is go, hey, in history, governments have staged terror attacks. Here's dozens of admitted examples by our government and other governments. Okay, so now you understand this is plausible to look at. Now let's look at the evidence. And then I go to Building 7, I go to the NORAD stand down, I go to 44,000 U.S. troops, 17,000, 18,000 British troops massed in the Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and surrounding areas. In a six-month buildup, Associated Press, Reuters reported as well that Bush signed launch order to attack Afghanistan on September 10th. Guys, type that in. Bush signed order to attack Afghanistan on September 10th. It was set for a week after that for it to go. I mean, this was all ships arriving, troops getting off. You know, the media saying Bin Laden's about to hit. What do? You give your rights up when he attacks. I mean, it was Jim Jones Kool-Aid drinking drills on the news. I'm not smart to know an attack was coming. Here's the bad man. When he gets you, what do? We give our rights up. So I go into all those areas, a full spectrum. But, you know, this happens in academia, too, where people fight over their different theories and ideas. All I know is the official story is not true. There it is, London Guardian. Bush team agreed plan to attack the Taliban the day before September 11th. Yeah, that's London Guardian. But again, the actual order is public now. He signed the order agreeing on an attack a week hence on September 10th. Jeb Bush, AP WorldNet Daily, declared preemptive martial law in Florida with no hurricane on September 7th because they were, and I say Bush wasn't involved. Whoever told Jeb obviously was. They were planning to have the Shanksville, Pennsylvania plane go into the Capitol. And boy, they had to take the Capitol out. Can you imagine? Well, Congress is disarrayed and things we have to, you know, move to this system. They were planning a total takeover. But the word is from the commanding generals and others, they even gave them awards. And Don DeGrand Prix, big arms dealer, a colonel in special ops, died of a heart attack shortly after. He said the happy hooligans of North Dakota assigned to Virginia, they refused orders, and the general said, aim nine. And later that came out in the tapes. They go, well, that doesn't mean anything. They put two aim nines into Flight 93. That's why it spread over 8 miles. And they just showed an engine hole and said that was the plane. Then they had debunking things where, well, by MapQuest, it's 8 miles. No. The state police reported debris 8 miles. Not by road or by traveling, but as crow flies. So they slammed two AIM 9s in there, and that kind of messed up their narrative. So they said, oh, there was a let's roll thing. And this woman, the Solicitor General's wife, Olson, she called her husband. The FBI admits, look this up. Look it up. They checked the records. There was no call. They were saying at 30,000 feet, her phone was working. The only real calls off air phones. Report not one, but two different craft and stewardesses, flight attendants, excuse me, saying there's some type of gas, can't breathe. So it looks like some of the aircrafts landed and got people off. Others actually had people on board who were gassed. We're not, again, all we have are these pieces. And I mean, and these are real. These are real pieces. These are real issues. They fired two AIM-9 Sidewinder missiles into that aircraft. That's what brought it down. By the way, though, they put out the let's roll because everybody's like, wait a minute. And they say, well, that was pre-9/11. People didn't know. Let me tell you, pre-9/11, and I'm not even the baddest guy around. But you get in a fight with me, you're going to get one. Believe me. Some guys pull out box cutters. I'm going to say it's clobbering time. I mean, that I don't even wake up till, you know, it's an overwhelming odds. And then, actually, it's a drug. I kind of like it because I kick like a mule and I bite like a crocodile. Four guys come at me, that's when you get the real power. That's when you can break necks real fast. How to bash their brains out. We'll be right back. Thank you so much for joining us. I am Alex Jones, your host. Hey, I'm going to go right back to your calls and get into some economic news. September 11th, 11 years later. But I remember on the day of 9/11 saying, don't give money to Red Cross. Don't give money to United Way. They fence the money out to anti-gun groups. They give the money to anti-family groups. They give the money to Agenda 21 groups, when nobody knew what that term was, to take over your towns and cities and tell you they're going to manage things. And, of course, later it came out that both groups didn't give the majority of the money to any type of victims or even use it for disasters anywhere. They used it for PR and for their salaries and for anti-liberty agendas. And I said, send them breathing apparatus. We found a few local churches, and we had our listeners on record September 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th for a week. We said, do not believe the government. The dust is deadly. Do not go into the area. Those buildings are built out of asbestos. There's all sorts of toxic stuff in there. We went through the whole list of it. But they wanted to open up Wall Street and all that. They wanted to have it all continue. So they said, hey, don't worry. Don't wear any mask. Everything's fine. They didn't just say, oh, it's not that bad. They said, no mask needed. And people would be in there for minutes without a serious respirator and have nosebleeds. And, of course, the big universities, you can look this up, within just a few months did CAT scans of the lungs, the Mount Sinai medical centers, all of them, all over the country. They had the firefighters, the police, the medical workers, the military, the doctors that went and volunteered, that rushed in as the politicians, posed as saviors and worked on that pile. And they said it's a conspiracy theory. You're not sick. And within 2 years, all the police dogs died of different types of cancer, lung, nasal, you name it. And the statistics now, it's thousands of dead. I mean, just off the charts cancer. I've been there with the firefighters and police, who were at the speaking event 6, 7, 8 years ago where they'd be coughing blood up in the green room, taking off the oxygen, mask to go out and give a speech. And then I'd read the New York Post say they're ambulance chasing, that they want to get covered just for their medication. And the guy that heads up the Main Foundation even gave his kidney to one of the people. Just amazing work that they've done. And I got to say, We Are Change and InfoWarriors, everybody really put on benefits. I put on in-game for free to a packed house, paid to get all the equipment, my people there. So I didn't just give up all the proceeds. I paid to put it on, and then the proceeds, gave that to the Feel Good Foundation, John Feel. We've tried our best while being called scum. In fact, you notice last year, first responders weren't allowed into the pile. That's because they're so angry. And they keep saying stuff when Giuliani walks by. Remember that last year? People don't remember that. Guys, type in first responders, not welcome at 9/11 ceremony. It was for politicians to sit there and grandstand. Remember that last year? Well, now the loving government has come out. Federal government may finally recognize 9/11 cancer link, say attorneys for survivors. That's out of the New Jersey News, NJ.com. Here's another one out of CBS. 911 workers celebrate victory. They're not heroes. They're just workers. Over addition of cancer coverage, but concerned about funding. Yeah, the government insurance they got from this didn't even cover cancer. And it just goes over. But now they're having to admit, folks, we had Christina Todd Whitman's own report. She came out and said the dust is deadly the first day, and then she was ordered to lie, so they put out a fake report saying it wasn't. Let me tell you, atomized asbestos and the mercury from all the switches and all the computers and all that blown sky high by those weapons they had inside, you're breathing that? I mean, give me a break. You see the people that day, the cops, with just blood running out their nose, blood coming out their mouth. Let me tell you, rescue or not, I'd have had goggles on. They should have said, everybody drive to New York, bring them goggles, bring them respirators, everything. Hey, let's move the stock exchange, 5 miles up the road to a warehouse. They could have done that. But no, it's fine. Go on in. Open schools down the block. It's fine. And all these famous people have died that had apartments down there. Who's the big famous singer died and her doctors were telling her, yeah, it's the dust that just died a few months ago. Because they told her, go right back in. Her apartment had its windows knocked out with dust in it. Oh, that dust is just fine, honey cakes. There's a government just so cold-blooded that it doesn't just not care about the first responders. They hate you. So remember that military when they want you to take vaccines that are experimental. It turns out they're being paid to test on you. There's no law you got to take experimental shots in the military. Okay, we've got all of that going on. We've got all of this happening. Remember that, because they're now trying to make first responders take shots again, saying you'll be fired. Nurses, organize and say no. EMTs, organize and say no. Police, organize and say no, like it did in 2002 with the emergency Health Powers Act, the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act, say no. A bunch of states said no to barcodes for kids at schools 10 years ago. Say no again. Learn to say no, no, no. Because if they can make the first responders take shots, they're going to make us. That's what this is about. That's what the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act was about, making them all take it. So they'd say, well, we had to take it. You're going to take it. We're all in this together. I'm going to go to some calls and then some financial news here in about 7-8 minutes. Let's move quick. Jeff in Illinois, 11 years later, what's your take on 9/11?
Hey, Alex, great to be on the show. 11 years later, there's been a lot more that's developed than you were just saying. So maybe a new film is needed. But and I'm going to hold you to your 10 hours of your money bomb day that you said you were going to cover 9/11.
Yes, I'm going to do 10 hours and go over 500 smoking guns with exhibits on the money bomb. And I'm supposed to announce that this week because our haters hate it. You know, George Soros gets your money in bailouts and funds MSNBC and Media Matters, your tax money. But that's okay. But we say, yeah, donate $500,000 or whatever so we can buy equipment, hire reporters. I've done it all. I've hired 6 reporters, 7 graphics people. I've expanded all the equipment. And, yes, we need your financial support, not just at the money bomb, but every day. In fact, I'm going to announce that in the beginning of the second, third, it'll be in the middle or so of October. So I've got to go ahead and get that announcement out soon. Go ahead, Jeff.
I wanted to talk about how I woke up, which was the Pentagon incident. There was no plane wreckage. They reported it was originally a 50-foot hole, then a 60-foot hole. The roof line was intact for 50 minutes before collapsing. A plane couldn't even fit underneath a 5-story building without billowing out on the front lawn. There's no lawn.
No, it looks like, according to the munitions experts, it looks like what a bunker buster does. And then the footage they released, they kept hundreds of tapes. The one footage they released, it looks like a missile trail coming in. But again, I never really harp on that because it's kind of a tar baby where you can't, get anywhere. My issue is they blew up Building 7 in front of everybody. Go ahead.
But there's like 10 cameras on every side of the Pentagon, at the top of the Pentagon, and they released that footage from the video surveillance cam.
And it looks like a white missile. It looks like a drone with a missile trail behind it.
Well, it's a missile that's painted to look like an American Airlines flight, and then that's why they have it horizontally, because there's no wing.
How important is it to you that we expose 9/11?
I think it's the biggest hoax that's ever been pulled on this earth. I try to wake some people up, and they hear you for a little while, and then you tell them that the towers were blown up by a controlled demolition from top down, and all the facts, the bomb-sniffing dogs removed 2 weeks before. Marvin Bush is head of the security for the Twin Towers. I mean, all the things that tie in together.
Oh, I forgot about that. And when I first heard that right after 9/11, I went and looked it up. His contract ended September 10th, and he literally handed the keys back that morning and then bragged that he was on the subway when it got hit. Marvin Bush ran security.
And your interview with Aaron Russo changed my life. That's how I kind of found out about InfoWars, and you have changed my life, and I think everybody needs to get on your station and just listen to you for 2 hours and just wake up. And it's unbelievable how many facts that you have. You have really changed a lot of people's lives.
Well, God bless you, sir. I appreciate your call. Listen, do you know what the responsibility is like knowing that we really reach tens of millions a week conservatively now? I just constantly think about points I need to make and that I need to do a better job, and that because instead of making my ego bigger, it's had the opposite effect where it's like, wow, I feel like I'm a brain surgeon or something working on a little kid's brain. I better not screw this up. You know what I mean? It's with great power comes great responsibility. And then I just get so mad and exhausted, I kind of power through it by yelling and screaming. But, God works in mysterious ways. I just want people to know that I'm not arrogant about the power InfoWars has. In fact, it's the opposite. I'm really trying to do the best job I can, and I need your prayers. Because it's not just government and corporations that engage in dirty tricks against us. There's also a lot of people of the huge, you know, awakening that's happening, conspiracy or questioning known liars, as it really is. The awakening movement is the hottest, biggest thing. It's only going to get bigger. And I'm the biggest thing in that, quote, genre in the world. It's really the end of the Matrix or the triumph, the conquest of the globalist. It's either the end of their system or the beginning of their true reign. And the amount of jealousy and envy and hatred of people I've tried to build up and help, because my instinct is build others up. My instinct is create new soldiers in the fight, really upsets me for humanity and is just very, very sad. But that's why those of you that know you're pure of heart and know you're good, you've got to be the leaders. Because there are so many bad people, the globalists in, but also bad people that are opportunistic to kind of move into this awakening. As people wake up, it doesn't then mean everything else that people exposing the globalists. It doesn't mean just because the globalists are bad, it doesn't mean everybody else exposing the globalists are good. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, it's not like America bad, Iran good, or Iran bad, America good. It's no, people running America bad, people running Iran bad. You see, it's not so. Our problem is morally we become lazy. It was a French philosopher, Victor Hugo, and statesman who said, prosperity makes monsters. Adversity makes men. I kind of butchered it. It sounds better the way he said it. He said, adversity makes men. Prosperity makes monsters. And it's true. You ever been around people that really have dangerous jobs? Been around people that really have to know what they're doing? They're talented, they're energetic, they're, you know, they understand things. And you kind of run into people who are like lazy and they wear their laziness and they're not carrying like a suit of armor. I mean, I look and watch people and man, there's like a culture of being weak. There's a culture of being pathetic. There's a culture where you get into being stupid. You get into being jellyfish-like. You get into being decadent. And those people are the problem. In fact, I had this weird epiphany last night that as mad as I get at police because they're charged with enforcing things in a corrupt society, I admire the police because at least they go out and do something dangerous. They do go out and have the nerve to pull people over all day and to, you know, go to wrecks and see people cut up and clean up toxic waste on the road and take in stinking prisoners and go to houses where there's a... I will tell you, if I was a cop working in a major city, I would probably turn into a monster very quickly. I mean, I really had this epiphany that if I was a cop, I would be a monster because I would get real sick of it real fast. I had this epiphany last night. And the police do horrible things and wrong things, but they are at the bottom rung of a rotting society. All the rotting, dripping trash is just dripping down on them. And when you dance with the devil, he don't change, you change. Let me tell you, I've turned into a really more aggressive person than I ever was before, focusing on this news. Just looking at it has made me a different person. I'm now really ranting, aren't I? Max in Utah. Max, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Alex.
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. I had a comment about the what happened on the inside the planes and my theory of it. It goes to, if you listen to that interview with James Woods where he saw the so-called dry run.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you at 8 after next hour what really happened on 9/11 as best we know, but James Woods, the famous actor, is a key area.
Yeah, if you listen to what he says on that Bill O'Reilly interview, he said that and he was in there and then that he noticed it and everything, and then he makes a comment. He said that the way they were acting, it was so obvious that it would be obvious to even the most casual observer. That's a quote. And, it, you know, it, when you think about it, then I think, well, you know, if these guys were trying to carry out, you know, a covert dry run, how could they be so incompetent that it would end up being so obvious that even the most casual observer could see?
Well, we know why, and it's not just a theory. We know they were brought into the U.S. and protected. We've talked to the head of the U.S. Embassy in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. who was ordered to, and his colleagues were ordered to let them into the country, even though they were listed as terrorists. They were told that's their CIA cover. Newsweek and Time admitted they were trained at U.S. military bases. The head of the Defense Language School, Colonel Butler, went public and said, the government had to do this. These guys were trained at my school, some of them. These are agents, these guys on the news. So then they told him, you're taking part in drills to see if airport security will catch you. And they do this all the time. They do this with military guys. Try to bring this bomb on the plane for America. And then they say, oh, this Green Beret wanted to blow it up. Why? The white Al-Qaeda. That guy's a Christian Baptist. See, they're the new threat. Don't take part in these drills, military and police, with the feds. Don't be idiots. Do not take part in that. Use your brain. And that's what happened. They got them on the plane. They did many of these drills. And they would get up and run around on the plane. They were told to see if the stewardesses, the flight attendants, would notice and what would happen. And then one day they got on the plane and something else happened. And that's my point. I ran up to the break and never finished my point. I wasn't bragging, hey, I kicked the guy's butts on the airplane. Anybody I know, I mean, even guys that aren't looking for a fight will, you know, get in a fight. I mean, if a big guy pulled out a knife, a lot of men would get up and fight. I mean, that's what men do. I mean, if you've got, you know, 30, 40 men on board, you're going to find 10 of them. They're going to get up out of their seat and say, you put that knife up right now. And if they didn't, it'd be, you know, I mean, it'd be on. I don't believe that on four different flights, I know women that would get up and attack you. You're not going to have red-blooded men, you know, the great, 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 great grandsons of people like George Washington laying down. I don't buy any of it. So I'm going to break that down coming up. Great point. More calls straight ahead. Continue with your calls. I'll briefly, at the start of the next hour, break down what I really believe happened on 9/11 and try to hurry through them. We have two short reports coming up by Aaron Dykes premiering here and, of course, Linda West's report on the TSA and is America still a free country after 9/11? So that's coming up in the next hour. I wanted to bring Ted up in this segment and the next ahead of your calls for those patiently holding. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231. I just cut this ad yesterday, but I thought I'd read it to you on air before it's even done being produced because it goes into my research. You can see the articles right here from the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, that I printed up to write this ad copy, which is pure veritas. Insider billionaire investors like George Soros and John Paulson have recently made massive moves into gold, purchasing what Bloomberg News describes as gold hoards. Soros alone doubled his holdings in one day. Russia's Vladimir Putin has doubled down on gold, increasing the country's holdings by over 100%. With $1.8 trillion under management, the bond king, Bill Gross, the world's preeminent bond fund manager at PIMCO, has warned investors of the dangers of QE3 and inflation. And what's he betting on? You guessed it, gold. Continuing here. Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas for all my precious metals needs. Whether it's bullion you're looking for or collectibles, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This fiat Federal Reserve currency could go the way of the Deutsche Mark of the Weimar Republic anytime. In these crazy times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry, but if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's specials at the very lowest prices you'll find anywhere. Midas brokers are standing by to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237. They've got the best prices, the best service out there. There's a lot of bait and switches and people that tell you a great story, but Midas has been around for 15 years. They are the best. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-237. Ted, we're about to go to break and just do 5 minutes with you ahead of the 9/11 calls. But You know, here, the headlines, Paulson and Soros add gold hoard, billionaire Soros, Paulson bet big on gold, ABC News. I mean, these are the type of reports I have here, and gold is continuing to go up because now, as you said yesterday, they're not just talking about QE3, they're just saying we're just going to start calling it quantitative easing and just open the floodgates up. If that happens, what's going to happen to gold?
Well, quantitative easing is a way of saying they're going to turn on the printing presses. And what that does is it drives down the value of the currency, which gold rises. I mean, every other country in the world knows this, so they'll be buying gold and they'll be getting away from the U.S. dollar. I mean, right now, Moody's, I'm looking at a story from the street. Moody's is looking at, they're warning about dropping the rating on the AAA rating on the United States T-bills because we're just about to fall off a fiscal cliff. You know, a lot of things that are going on right now, and I do hear the music coming, but there's just so much information going on. Gold has been up $11 again today, and you're seeing that just directly because of the fact that there's foreigners are getting away from gold.
Yeah, stay there, Jeb. We're going to come back and actually give you some time to report on this. Gold rises after U.S. credit warning knocks dollar. That's Reuters. We'll break this down straight ahead. I believe this is the beginning of a up market.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we've got Frank, Chad, Mankind, Michelin, Eric, and others holding with what they think the big smoking guns of the inside job are. Or we don't screen your calls if you disagree and think 9/11 was really carried out by 19 hijackers, 15 from Saudi Arabia, our good buddies. Then I'd love to hear from you as well, 800-259-9231. In fact, John, the next few calls that come in, leave it open for people that disagree on 9/11. And I'll try to be nice to them. I blow up a little when somebody calls in and implies I'm a liar and that there's no InfraGuard and that my dad wasn't approached by him to spy on his patients. Then my dad called in. So I went and actually pulled a bunch of mainstream news articles about FBI deputizes private contractors with extraordinary powers, including shoot to kill. I'm going to be covering that some, too. We have news clips of them admitting it. See how you like that. But see, that those people are counting. I only get mad at shills when you can tell they're a shill. If you really disagree, oh, wow, I'd love to talk to you. But if it's a shill call, just trying to confuse childlike minds out there, better for you to tie a millstone around your neck. Ted, finishing up here, I got Bloomberg just out a few minutes ago. Gold advances on outlook for further stimulus from the Fed. The intel I've got is they're not going to do QE3 big time until the election's over. Then they're dropping the hammer. Ted Anderson.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of the obvious things to do, but I can tell you this. The outcome of the election isn't going to make a difference to what's going on here in the United States and our economy. There's going to be a lot more stimulus coming after that because the Fed simply has to. If they want to save the banks, you got to realize that we're consuming almost 50% of our GDP with the interest on the debt right now at just a hair above 0%. You increase that percentage point to 6%, and we're going to be so deep and buried it's not even funny. So if they want the banks to fail, if they want entire chaos in the United States, let the interest rates rise. The only way the Fed can keep the interest rates down is by quantitative easing.
And the word is, they're now admitting from Jackson Hole and Whitefish and all that they're moving towards it. What's your intel on when the QE3 unlimited comes?
Well, I mean, that's what they were talking about yesterday in the articles that I was reading, is that rather than calling a QE3, it'll just be ongoing quantitative easing. So in other words, it's not one and then something, you know, goes so far and it ends, and then two and it goes so far and it ends. What they're talking about, rather than quantitative easing number three, they're just saying, we're going to quantitative ease and we're not going to even tell you this is going to finish.
Well, yeah, that's like when they bought 1.4 billion bullets and it became an issue, they just started blacking out how many they're buying. So, right. Or when it hit $27 trillion in bailouts 2 years in the last 2 years, no new numbers. It's just, and we finally got some, it's almost 50 trill. I mean, it is pandemonium. And of course, they're giving the big banks the free money, interest free, and then loaning it to us. Ted, I know you've still got some radio specials. Gold's up over, what, $90 plus in the last week and a half right now. You've been buying gold the whole time. priced in the market, how much are people saving? Like gold you bought at, what, 1,700 you're now able to sell when it's, what's gold
That's
at right
going
now?
On right now, Alex, you're looking at about an $80 savings per ounce. On the gold side, on the silver, it's even more than that because, you know, we added that Obama deception just should be in there with the current events that are going on. The fall of the Obama deception, the American dream, and dishonest money, and we're selling two silver dollars for $63 right now. If you just buy the two silver dollars right now before delivery, it's $70 for the two coins. We're selling the books and everything together for $63. So that is just a fabulous.
It
savings.
Is like getting in a time machine and going back in time and buying silver when it was lower. No one can even approach selling them at $63 when it would be $70 now. And you're adding my film, The Obama Deception, that's really had a resurgence right now, truly exposing who Obama is. And then your book, 10 Reasons to Own Gold, and then the American Dream DVD exposing the banksters, so well produced. Two films and a book, free, and the silver dollars are $7 cheaper than they should be. Call Midas Resources at 800-686-2237. That deal is too good.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, kicking off another worldwide hour as we attempt to awaken free humanity. If you go to Infowars.com, you'll see an article that I wrote with Paul Watson. Will humanity survive the singularity? One of the most important articles we've ever put together, the elite have made the decision to exterminate the useless eaters. We have the quotes by billionaires, top tech heads, of how they're going to set up the planetary government, cut off your resources under Agenda 21, and then release bioweapons to kill you and your family. You might want to read this. You know, we get up here and reality sensational, folks. Sorry. We get up here and we talk about, did criminal elements in the government engineer 9/11? And the evidence is overwhelming. I'm going back to your calls in a moment. But, I mean, the Department of Energy admits in one program, 4,000-plus foster children, just type it into a search engine, had radiological things tested on them, killing them. That's 4,000-plus that were killed. Israel did radiation testing on 110,000, killing more than 20,000. They have TV shows about it on their public television. Just type in the ringworm children documentary. It's on YouTube. They'd say, your child has a ringworm, which is fungus. We're going to take them in for a checkup, and they'd fry them. I mean, why are governments doing this? Because they're eugenicists. They are setting up a scientific dictatorship. They're testing things on us. They see us as dumb animals. We better not act like dumb animals. Or they believe under social Darwinism we deserve it. Not me. I know what's going on. I don't like what you're doing. You don't have authorization to do it. I'm exposing you. And I understand this isn't as cool as the football game last night, but let me tell you, go read the quotes. Go read the proof. I'm begging you. It's at Infowars.com. I'm going to have the guys red link it. I asked him to red link it. We've been working on it for a week, this article. I said when it came out, red link it. I want to red link it, put a top story. And it ties into if they'd, you know, give black men syphilis and nerve gas our own troops and Project Shad and other drills and kill some of them and radiate them and get pregnant wives of GIs, plutonium pills and all this, would they stage an attack and kill 3,000 people? G. Cheney wrote they need a new Pearl Harbor to mobilize America to create a Pax Americana and set up a global empire. He wrote that September 20th, 2000, in Rebuilding America's Defenses, or the Project for New American Century, and published it. Go to the library. Read it online. It's on their website. I mean, I'm giving you data points here. Not conjecture, not theories. The bottom of the hour, I will give you my theory on what happened on 9/11. But we know the official story is a fraud. Let's go to your calls as promised. Frank in North Carolina, your take on all this 11 years later.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's kind of pathetic. I'm disgusted with my country, my countrymen. Nobody's standing up. Nobody's saying anything, even the ones that know something about what happened. Just seems like everybody's very quiet to me. But I agree with your theory as far as the I think the guys on the planes thought they were running drills. I know that type of thing goes on. I think they were used. I think they were set up as patsies. I don't claim to know what happened exactly with the planes. I'm pretty much on board with you there. I don't know exactly what happened.
Only,
but I know
the only real phone call said, we can't breathe. So they depressured to release gas. Go ahead.
Yeah, again, where people can see the mechanics of this, where they can relax and get out of the real world and watch it in a movie, would be the movie Shooter from 2007, also a 1989 movie, The Package with Gene Hackman and Tommy Lee Jones. It shows the mechanics of actually how they go and get someone out of the military and tell them that they're going to be in one of these drills and how they set them up to be the fall guy, the patsy. The patsy never even knows what happened. They just wind up dead.
Arlington Road is a great example as well, how they set patsies up.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that one. I've heard of it, but I wanted to read a quote and get your take on it, possibly. This is a quote from a former director of studies with the U.S. Army War College. Dr. Alan Sobroski is a Vietnam veteran, United States Marine officer, former director of studies with the U.S. Army War College. Quote, this is his take on it. All these years later, quote, it is a 100% certainty the 9/11 attacks was a Mossad intelligence operation, unquote. And I've heard him say this myself.
And you want my take on that?
Yes, sir.
Well, I appreciate your call. I think, well, I mean, keep him there, but fade him down. His phone's real bad. It sounds like an electric shaver. The Mossad, CIA, MI6 are all completely integrated. And undoubtedly, elements of Mossad were casing and following the so-called hijackers. The FBI was paying for some of their houses and credit cards. They had, you know, FBI informants with their landlords. And that's a subgroup of the FBI, not the whole FBI. So I would have to say that to say it's a 100% inside job, I mean, that's like saying one time I said, well, man, I made a film, Terror Storm. And in it, we explained from the admirals, from the captain, from all the survivors. But I interviewed probably most of the survivors. Interviewed Admiral Moore, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I interviewed the judge advocate general who saw the evidence. Here on the show, those interviews are out there from the USS Liberty. And they said Israel attacked the ship to blame it on Egypt and that LBJ was involved and ordered the carriers to turn jets back that were going to aid it. So Israel could keep trying to sink the ship, to blame it on Egypt as a false flag. And we knew years before, just three, four years before in 64, this was in 67, that LBJ had staged Gulf of Tonkin. So, I mean, there it is. So I make a film saying this is how it happened from all the witnesses and the evidence. And then the super anti-Israel crowd says, you're saying the U.S. government did it. You're saying Israel isn't guilty. No, that's not what I'm saying. It's all one big thing. So to say Israel 100% did it, does Israel make NORAD stand down? Did Israel have the FBI find the staged passports and all that? It goes on and on. But undoubtedly, things that the globalists can't get the full echelon of the military to do, they will use outside groups and mercs. And so what I found is the United States will go and kill Israelis when they want Israelis killed. And then Israel is used to kill American citizens. This has actually come out in the news where they brag, yeah, we'll kill Americans in America if we want. And they've got little cells in every town. And so the U.S. government, it's really the globalist government, the banker government, uses them to come over and kill us, and it's vice versa. Like, here's a great example that's been declassified. They use the British to spy on the American people for NSA. And then they use the American government to spy on the Brits for their system. It's like GQ8 or whatever it's called, GSGQ8 or whatever the term is. Guys, type in what the name of England's NSA, and it'll pop up. I know Europe's Infopol 9. The point is that, yes, I've actually heard his interview, heard what he goes over. There's actually a Washington Post article a year before 9/11. You can pull up where they said Pentagon was and the war colleges were looking at the dangers of Israel running a false flag as a pretext to get the U.S. involved in the Middle East more. But again, I don't even, talking about the U.S. government, get into exactly the mechanics of it, because all I can prove is that the official story is a lie. And that they blew up Building 7 in front of everybody and said they were going to blow it up and said it on TV and radio and then want us to forget about that. And if you can get them on that, then you've got them on everything. Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes, and I pretty much agree with everything you said. By the way, Dr. Alan Sobrowski is not a neo-Nazi or anything like that. He actually has Jewish ancestry, and he is a great American patriot.
No, I wasn't saying he was. In fact, I meant to get him on. Guys, you get him on. I'm not saying he's a Nazi. I'm saying the Nazis, who we know are globalist run in most cases, like Hal Turner, I come out and say our government with Israel tried to sink the Liberty. And they go, how dare you say it was the U.S. government, not the Israel? And see how then you don't get the full picture. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've got a real bad line, Alex. I'll get off.
Thank all right, I hear you. I was trying to get your take on that. Let's go ahead and talk to, is that Michelin? Micheline in Utah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless America. And God bless our first responders, families, and all those who were killed in the attacks. Our thoughts and prayers are with them today. My number one smoking gun is the Raytheon connection with the Global Hawk program, where their senior directors and control engineers were all supposedly killed in the flights, Flight 11 and Flight 77, and the coincidence on that, to me, does not make any sense. These men disappeared.
Yeah, that's the Northwoods deal, where you have contractors and CIA who will agree to stage their death. But then that conflicts with the gas story. They gas everybody and then fly it in. Those flights were all very mysterious who they had on them.
Exactly. And these men have disappeared now. The men that actually ran the large drone program for Raytheon, as well as some DOD contractors, and there was a heavy incident of Flight 77 of military connections. And to me, as I researched, that was the most important of the smoking guns, as well as a 9/11 pilots organization coming up with serial numbers of two of those Boeings for sale in third world countries years after 9/11.
I know. It's these aren't just theories here. This is all the so-called hijackers were trained at U.S. bases on record. That's not debatable. They're like, oh, just never mind that. So they're trained at bases. The TSA needs to take your wife in a private screening room. Hey, but you're in the news running Al-Qaeda, and the media says that we need to do a treaty with them. They're our friends now. Shut up. Your wife could be Al-Qaeda. But now they're like, she's not Al-Qaeda. She's a patriot. We got to go in her pants. I mean, it's just amazing. Great points. Okay, we're going to come back and talk to Eric in Kentucky. Well, that's in Kansas, and we got Tim in Kentucky. I conflated the two. Chad, Mankind, and others.
Watch me.
All right, coming up, I'm going to kind of break down what I believe happened on 9/11, but we've kind of already covered that. I've got two reports, one by Linda West, one by Aaron Dykes. Special reports we're going to air here. Continuing with your calls on the nightly news this evening, I will go through a whole bunch of the smoking guns and some video clips, Building 7 being blown up, the rest of it, 7 o'clock Central, PrisonPlanet.tv. I have a smattering of news I want to get to as well, but let's hurry through your calls now. Wow, a lot of interesting points getting raised by callers. Let's talk to Eric in Kansas. Eric, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I just wanted to share a little bit of kind of ominous symbolism I saw today. Supposed to be the anniversary of 9/11 and what the government supposedly says, outside forces did to us. There's people waving flags and everything everywhere. Everywhere you look, you see flags at half staff. Well, I drive by Fort Riley, Kansas, and I'm looking over at the base housing. There's a huge flagpole out there. No American flag flying anywhere on that flagpole. And I get down farther where I'm going, a little town called Osage City, Kansas, and there's an active Army Reserve post there. It's a real small little post. There's cars in the parking lot. There's people around. And, again, there's no flags flying on the flagpole. Absolutely bare. And that just kind of struck me as, here's today, is being forced down our throat that, you know, we were invaded by terrorists and you know, we have to be protected because of all this. And yet our own military on bases in our own country refuse to fly the flag.
You know, I'd like to see that, but there's a lot of ominous stuff. Last year's event, they had weird Illuminati eyes with people marching, and they wouldn't let the first responders in, period. We're under global government. It's been announced. I mean, for all intents and purposes, America doesn't exist anymore. England doesn't exist. Germany doesn't exist. We're under the New World Order, a corporate governance. All over Austin and the surrounding towns, they have Agenda 21 Department of HUD coming in and taking over the land and saying you can't build on it, and then saying only insiders can build. I mean, and then you go to the events, they just tell you straight to your face none of it's happening, even though you have all their own documents. I mean, it is a mafia takeover. I've got articles where they're using more slave labor at Apple's factories in China. They have to put suicide nets up and drug the employees. They make them work 18 hours a day sometimes. And it's toxic, and that's Al Gore. I mean, the more liberal it is, the more evil, because they're not liberals. It's all a cover. These are monster people. They're a mafia that guilts you into letting them run your life. I appreciate your call. Let's go ahead and talk to Chad in Texas. Chad, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
I was just, I guess it is on topic today. My smoking gun would be, the original one that woke me up. And that was 10 years ago. I got a book called Body of Secrets by John Bamford, who worked for the NSA.
Yeah, well, he worked for ABC News, Nightline, as a producer. It's about the NSA spying on us, and they denied his book. Now it's all been proven. Bamford's been on the show. Yeah, Body of Secrets. So the NSA knew all this stuff, and it turned out we did have NSA whistleblowers who said they did know about the attacks and stood down.
Well, and I read that book before I'd ever heard anything about 9/11 truth or anything 10 years ago, and it really, I got to page 82, and I just was reading it like anything else, and it just shook my spirit, my soul, you know, to my core.
Yeah, that everything's being listened to, and 10 years ago they were lying about it. His book did come out about 11 years ago, right before 9/11. In fact, that's why 6 months before 9/11, his book covered Operation Northwoods, which is where the government planned to bomb D.C., shoot up movie theaters and public places, and attack military bases and blame it on the Soviets to start World War III and to have an invasion of Cuba. But Eisenhower said no, and so did Kennedy. And that was green-lighted. I mean, you know, that plan was green-lighted. But it's Bamford that exposed that.
Well, when I read that, I was living in Norfolk, Virginia at the time, which is the largest naval base in the world. And I called Mancow's show the next morning because, like I said, I mean, I had kind of tears. I had to have my wife's time read it, too, because I couldn't believe I was the a stoop kind of drone like everybody else. And I saw the implications of it, and she read it, and I figured, you know, she wasn't the brightest, so she could see it, then I knew what I was reading. But I got on Mancow the next day and was able to get it out to everybody, the information about it, the book. At the time, you know, I probably couldn't even do that today.
But see, you have your humanity that you would read about staging terror attacks, everyone being spied on, and all this stuff declassified, and get upset, because now it's like, before we were wrong, oh, none of that's going on. Now it's like, oh, what's the big deal? So they radiated some little kids to death, thousands of them. The government's still good. So they shot black people up with syphilis. Whoa, excruciating death over 20 years. Big deal. I mean, the government's good, though. You know, keep trusting them.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
That's right, and we are exponentially expanding as the NSA and others are fully aware. Millions of people are waking up every single week. Humanity is beginning to come out of its slumber, out of its globalist-induced coma. We are in the fight. It does not mean we're winning, but we are in the fight. It's up to you whether we defeat this evil, but you've got to believe in yourself, believe in God, ask God to guide you, to use you as a vessel. Even though we're all imperfect and our best works are like dirty rags, it is the heart that matters. You start pushing the mountain, God will move it, but you've got to put it into action. And people within the system, now it's never been more out in the open that we have an evil in control of our world. And that they're gearing up for more false flags. You know, that's really the important message here today. Let me just briefly, before getting to these special reports and then back to your calls, go over 20 smoking guns. You know, there's different sites that have 500 smoking guns, 300. And of the 500 on one side, I'd say about 480 of them are really accurate. But here's 20 that I compiled with Paul Watson last year. Number one. In June of 2006, Muckraker Report investigative reporter Ed Haas contacted the FBI to ask why 9/11 was not specifically mentioned on Bin Laden's wanted page on the FBI website. The reason why 9/11 is not mentioned or some of Bin Laden's most wanted page is because the FBI has no evidence connecting Bin Laden to 9/11, he was told by FBI agent Rex Toom. We have links to FBI.gov. I'm going to have this reposted at the top of InfoWars during the next break. I meant to during the last one, but I got busy. Continuing here. And again, these aren't even the most important smoking guns in order. They're just 20 of the most important. But it's not like, you know, we count down 20 to number one. It's just these are all important. Briefing point number two to you. Sybil Edmonds, or Sybil Edmonds, was dismissed after she received the information while working at the NSA and FBI, and that she revealed that the government had foreknowledge of plans to attack American cities using planes as bombs as early as April of 2001. Again, she had the foreknowledge, told Congress, was told to shut up. During a court case that arose out of the dismissal of the evidence surrounding 9/11, reporters were barred from recording any details of the case, and Edmonds herself was barred from even entering a courtroom. When Edmonds' case was dismissed in 2005, no reason was provided and no opinion cited. During an interview with Mike Malloy's show in 2009, Sybil Edmonds said to say that since the fall of the Soviet Union, we ceased all of our intimate relationship with Bin Laden and the Taliban. Those things can be proven as lies very easily. Based on the information they classified, in my case, because we did carry a very intimate relationship with these people that involved Central Asia all the way up to September 11th. And since then, she's broken the gag order. She heard the CIA in command of all of Al-Qaeda and basically preparing for them to take the blame for the staged event. That's why Colonel Schaefer, who could have killed him, was told to not kill him twice because he was just a dummy to just take the blame. Briefing point number three, the smoking guns. The following is a quote from Mayor Giuliani during an interview on 9/11 with Peter Jennings for ABC News. I went down to the scene and set up a headquarters at 75 Barclay Street, which was right there at the police commission, the fire commission, the head of emergency management. We were operating out of there. We were told the World Trade Center was going to collapse. And it did collapse before we could actually get out of the building. So we were trapped in the building for 10 or 15 minutes and finally found an exit out, walked north and took people with us. Who told him this? To this day, the answer to the question remains unanswered. Who told him it was going to collapse? That's another important point. I'm going to hurry through these. Number four. In April of 2004, USA reported that the Aerospace Defense Command conducted exercises a year before, 2 months before, and on the day of 9/11 of the same targets being hit, but said they never heard of a plan to fly planes into buildings. Now, number five, on September 12, 2007, CNN's Anderson Cooper, 360, reported that mysterious white planes spotted flying in restricted airspace over the White House shortly before 10 a.m. the morning of 9/11 was in fact Air Force E-4B, a specially modified Boeing 747 with a communications pod behind the cockpit. Though fully aware of the event, the 9/11 Commission did not deem the appearance of the military plane to be of any interest, even though it was clearly the command and control aircraft. Continuing here, number six. Three F-16s assigned to Andrews Air Force Base, 10 miles outside of Washington, D.C., were conducting training exercises in North Carolina, 207 miles away, as the first plane crashed the WTC. Even if the planes had traveled at significantly less than their top speed of 1,500 miles per hour, they could have been defending the skies over Washington well before 9 a.m., more than 37 minutes before Flight 77 crashed in the Pentagon. And it just goes on with those numbers. Number seven, compilation of videos showing WTC-7's collapse. Police saying get back, they're going to blow it up. The early announcement that it was going to fall before it fell, falling exactly as they said it had. It's the big smoking gun. Number eight, Flight 93 is fourth plane to crash on 9/11 at 10:03 a.m. Cheney only gives shoot-down order at 10:10 to 10:20 a.m. and is not communicated to NORAD until 28 minutes after Flight 93 has crashed. And then there's the aide in Congress and the Secretary of Transportation saying he basically told him stand down. Okay, continuing here. Number nine, scores of mainstream news outlets reported the FBI conducted an investigation of at least five of the 9/11 hijackers being trained U.S. military flight schools. Those investigations are now sealed, need to be declassified. Newsweek, New York Times, BBC. We have bibliograph sources here. Briefing point 10. New York firefighters Mike Malone and Nicholas DeMasi went public to say they had found the black boxes at the World Trade Center, which the FBI had lied about, later admitting that did happen. They won't release them. It just goes on. And they go on to say it was a cover-up. Number 11, hundreds of key eyewitnesses, including first responders, fire captains, news reporters, and police, all describe multiple explosions in both the towers before and during the collapse, as well as seven eyewitnesses' accounts of bombs and explosions can be found in the following links. Number 12, an astounding video uncovered from the archives of BBC News, Jane Stanley reported on the collapse of WTC Building 7 over 20 minutes before it fell, also CNN 1 hour before. Number 13, Solicitor General Ted Olson's claim that his wife Barbara Olson called him twice from Flight 77, described hijackers with box cutters, was a central plank of the official story. And it goes on to show Global Research and other news where the FBI admitted in FOIA requests that indeed they checked the phone records, they did not exist, and that cell phones did not work above 5,000 feet, and these calls were made over 30,000. Number 14, the size of a Boeing 757 is approximately 125 feet. And yet no images of the impact zone at the Pentagon show the engines or crash holes from the wings. It shows a 16-foot diameter hole before it collapsed from fire. Remember, that was a little bit of the ceiling. Number 15, what is the meaning behind the following quote attributed to Dick Cheney, which came to light during the 9/11 Commission hearings? And then that's the planes 50 miles out, he orders to stand down. 30 miles out, he orders to stand down. Again, that's from... The Secretary of Transportation, who's been asked five separate times and said no, it was Cheney was told earlier than he said, and Cheney ordered a stand down. And then you've got all the rest of it. Number 16, in May of 2003, the Miami Herald reported how the Bush administration was refusing to release a 900-page controversial report on 9/11 because it wanted to avoid enshrining embarrassing details about the report. So we need to release that. Number 17, Newsweek twice reported that top Pentagon officials got a warning not to fly September 10th and 11th to New York. And we also have San Francisco Chronicle, Mayor Willie Brown warned by Condoleezza Rice not to fly to New York on September 10th. He warned her not to fly September 11th. Briefing 18, and it goes through all the numbers that cell phones don't work, above just 5,000 feet. And that was impossible. Briefing number 20. A few days after the attack, several newspapers reported that a paper passport had been found in the ruins of WTC by the FBI that day. And, of course, it turned out it wasn't true, and that was impossible. And I'm just abbreviating all of this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to go to more of your calls here. But first, I want to go to Linda West, one of our InfoWars Nightly News reporters, air this here on the radio show. She went out to ask Americans, is America still a free country? Out by the airport, but also downtown Austin. And while in downtown Austin, we only have the footage as the guy walks away. A guy in a business suit says, I'll give you somebody to talk to, because they're out there politely talking about the TSA. And he starts taking photos of them and then calls the police on them. And they were in a hurry to get back to the office. because they were going to be on the show. But as they're leaving, you know, bicycle cops and a cop car screech up. And I told them, you should, in hindsight, you should have gone up and said, oh, you want to talk to us? Because that would have been more powerful. But instead, they just drove off. But I mean, is America still a free country? And you got a woman in a business suit and guys in suits out there asking questions professionally, and the cops come in downtown Austin. I mean, it's just crazy what they've trained us to live under. So here is that report.
Hi, this is Linda West reporting with Infowars.com. Today we're at the Austin airport, and we're going to be asking people about their feelings about the ever-expanding TSA. In L.A., they've passed a new Policy 1, which makes it illegal to videotape or photograph at the airport. But while it's still legal here, here we are. If they plan to expand the TSA, which they do, and to go into train stations and sporting events, if you have to walk through a TSA and get scanned to go into the mall, would you still want to do that? Do you still think that would be needed?
Probably not. And I recognize terrorism can hit anywhere.
Right.
But I doubt they're going to hit me at Kohl's.
Things like your car being taken, having a picture taken of your car when you go through the toll road, right. Having that kind of record of where somebody was at some time, I think is
kind of Big Brother.
Starts to impede our freedom.
At what point do you say, I'd rather have my freedom instead of a possible terrorist attack? Or, I mean, for that point, you know, Yellowstone could blow. Or
yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the taxes. You know, taxes keep increasing every year. You know, I'm a very successful businessman, and each year more comes out of my pocket. Unless out of other people's pockets. So,
right.
So that's also freedom that's getting taken from me.
Let's just say that I am not 100% trustful of the government.
What are your feelings about the TSA?
You know, touching children's private parts, that's an abomination to me. And, you know, doing it in the name of security and with these fears that are, you know, falsely painted in the eyes of the masses in order to basically control this planet, make it into a prison planet.
I don't know about all this TSA stuff. I mean, I want to see what it's going to do. You know, I mean, you know, I don't. I mean, since you asked me,
yeah, that's,
you know,
why I'm asking.
I'm more shaky now than I was at first. You know, come down and looking around, you don't know what's going to happen. You know,
so they're more or less perpetuating fear in us.
Right. That's what it's done to me. Yeah.
As we were interviewing people in front of Starbucks, a self-designated citizen spy took it upon himself to call the police on us. They arrived minutes later.
Do you feel safer now that the TSA is there patting people like you and I down?
No.
You don't feel safe?
No, I don't.
I felt like I was in like a Nazi camp or something. But it's just part of their plan. I already know what it is. It's just, you know, it's the new world order.
I went out on the street to ask everyday Americans how they felt about our quest for protection in our country. With the never-ending TSA expansion, drones in our skies, and even citizen spies on our streets and the local Starbucks, despite the fact that we all grew up in America that we proudly hailed as the home of the free and the brave, what I found is that the America we're living in now is the home of the fearful and willingly enslaved. This is Linda West, signing off with InfoWars Nightly News.
Great job, Linda. And again, she did a report, text report last week. She's from L.A. She talked to the police captain, quotes him. He says, we've now passed a new policy. You'll be arrested if you film in public, including the airport. You don't pass a policy. Hey, why don't you say you have a policy that I got to come mow your lawn every Saturday morning? Well, that's what tyranny is. There is no law that you can't film at the airport anywhere. There are laws they can't touch your genitals, but they still do it. They're exercising criminal power over us. And the government runs Al-Qaeda. That's in the news now. So I don't want to hear it anymore. And now they're on the streets of America. Now, before we go back to your calls, we're going to skip this network break so we have time to do both. Here is Aaron Dyke's report. He recently got back a few weeks ago from Germany. Over there visiting a nice young lady he met at Bilderberg a year and a half ago. And he was over there covering the fact, because they were nearby the birthplace of the Illuminati, that the Illuminati is a real thing. It's in the encyclopedia. It's in the dictionary. And the system of the Illuminati has now been adopted by the globalists. We're not saying they're the Illuminati. They're like the offspring of the Illuminati, this system of secret mafias all secret societies are basically private intelligence agencies. They can be bad or they can be good, but generally they become evil, even if they're started as good, and it's basically places for criminals to engage in control freak behavior. So you just heard Is America Still Free by Linda West. Here is Illuminati, Origins of the Secret Society. That's a good headline, but I want Aaron to call it on YouTube. We're going to post it up there. It's at prisonplanet.tv right now. I'm going to call it InfoWars Visits Birthplace of the Illuminati, or Birthplace of the Illuminati. I think that's more of the headline. But here is that report.
The Illuminati does exist. The secret society is so notorious that many have assumed it resides only in legend and myth. But it was in fact founded on May 1st, 1776 in the heart of Bavaria, Germany.
Aaron Dykes here for Infowars.com in Bavaria, Germany, where in Ingolstadt in 1776, Professor Adam Weishaupt founded the Illuminati right here at this university.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of election.
We'd like to show the historic background of the original Illuminati. It was here in Ingolstadt, 1776, when Adam Weishaupt founded the original Bavarian Illuminati, a secret order. He founded here around the University of Ingolstadt. And in the beginning, it was a pure opposition against powerful Jesuits. They had a very strong, a very important role here at the Ingolstadt University. Of course, they were trying to keep the power for the church. They were trying to avoid the modern science. They didn't allow the modern science to be taught at the Ingolstadt University.
The original documents of the Illuminati are preserved at the State Museum.
Oh, look, Eric. Tote Maske von Johann Adam Weishaupt. It's the death mask.
Adam Weishaupt's role in forming the Illuminati inside the city of Ingolstadt in Bavaria, Germany, cannot be disputed.
We're overlooking a model of the old city of Ingolstadt. Professor Adam Weishaupt wanted to use his secret society to overthrow existing religions and all existing governments, especially monarchies. Instead, he wanted the learned men of universities, using the pagan values of the old system passed down from societies like Egypt and Babylon, to rule the world instead of the oppressive religious regimes and the oppressive monarchies that were in existence in Europe at the time. It was not through armies and force and numbers that Adam Weishaupt hoped to take over the existing governments and change them. Instead, he used his Illuminati secret society to infiltrate the existing structures of government and take them over from within. His attempt to create a new world order by deception and overthrow all existing governments and religions.
Behind the scenes, powerful people like Mayor Amschel Rothschild were involved in founding the Bavarian Illuminati, while important titled and lettered men composed its membership. It claimed to work in secret only because it couldn't work out in the open. The Bavarian Illuminati used Freemasonry and other competing secret society lodges as an engine to conceal its inner membership and project its agenda into already powerful circles. Degrees of the Illuminati structure were adopted into many Masonic traditions, creating an effective venue for recruitment and control. Weishaupt himself took over key lodges in neighboring Munich and other parts of Bavaria, making the Lodge St. Theodore the de facto headquarters of the Illuminati. From that point, membership swelled and the group's allies spread across Europe.
I'm standing in the old city of Munich, not far from where Adam Weishaupt's headquarters for the Illuminati was found. It was the Lodge Theodore, also known as the Lodge St. Theodore Albon Council. Now, that lodge is nowhere to be found on the internet, although we know it's here somewhere in the old city. A lot of that old city was destroyed in World War II, but very suggestive is the church behind me that bears the all-seeing eye atop of it, the blazing emblem of the all-seeing eye with the triangle. By 1784, the Bavarian Illuminati had officially been exposed. The member list and the agenda had been found on a messenger killed when he was struck by lightning and the monarchs in Bavaria had the list and shared it with other monarchs.
The ruler of Bavaria, Karl Theodor, outlawed the secret society, banished Adam Weishaupt, and the other leaders scattered. Weishaupt himself avoided persecution under the protection to the end of his life by fellow Illuminist Duke Ernst of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha. Second in command to the Illuminati, Adolf Freiherr von Königi ostensibly disbanded the group known internally as those whose name had been cursed by posterity. The Illuminati was officially over in 1785, and Königi stepped down from his position. However, historians have conclusively found that von Königi simply revived the Illuminati under the guise of numerous reading societies, as Weishaupt had originally instructed. Weishaupt told his initiates, quote, "Conceal the very fact of our existence from the profane. If they discover us, conceal our real objective by profession of benevolence. If our real objective is perceived, pretend to disband and relinquish the whole thing, but assume another name and put forward new agents." This plan was carried out with precision. Top brass of the Illuminati, von Königi and Johann Joachim Christoph Bode, reestablished the revolutionary organization under the guise of publishing houses that pushed for the printing of controversial Enlightenment literature, while operating behind the scenes via a clandestine inner circle that directed the agenda. These reading societies and publishing houses popped up across Europe and America. The German Union Publishing House operated on the Illuminati's home turf, while the Cercle Sociale, based in Paris, played a critical role in the French Revolution. Their work in France was to be the beginning of a global revolution to take over the entire world. The original Bavarian Illuminati went underground and faded from existence. But the true legacy of the Illuminati continues. It was the embodiment of a working model for secret government, cleverly concealed within existing institutions and perpetuated by the lure of its secret mysteries and ambitious aims. But those occultic religious trappings were just a mask for the real model of infiltration and domination. The real Illuminati continued in other secret groups working under other names. At their core, they were nothing more than private intelligence agencies who carried out their agenda through the positions of power held by their elite membership, bonded by secrecy.
Excellent job, Aaron Dykes. You know, I guess he should leave the headline like he has. That's a great headline, Illuminati Origins of Secret Government. We're going to have that posted. That premiered last night on InfoWars Nightly News. We just premiered here on the radio. I'm going to have that posted right now at InfoWars.com as soon as this hour ends. Wow, so much other news I didn't even get to today. Look at this. Army wants tiny suicidal drone to kill from 6 miles away. And, of course, the police want to get these as well. They're already arming them. GoDaddy hacktivist boasts he can bring down Google, too. Probably the NSA doing it to themselves so they can try to pass the cybersecurity legislation, or when Obama signs the executive order, make it look good. Pretty ridiculous on that front. I do also want to just add that when you go to InfoWars.com, you can see a banner about a third of the way down on InfoWars.com. That says receive 2 free gifts from Midas Resources. You buy 2 silver dollars at $63. That was the price. That, again, is $63. You can't get 2 silver dollars of that type for $70 now. They're each 1 ounce. And you get, we haven't changed the banner yet, but when you click through, you get 10 Reasons to Own Gold, American Dream, and The Obama Deception, 2 films and a book free. This is a super loss leader by Ted Anderson. He loses like $25 a piece on these. And he's going to run out of the silver at $63. I mean, so it'll go up soon, but it'll still be, you know, below what anybody else can do. So if you want to take advantage of that, click on that banner there, because it's now 3 free gifts. We just haven't updated it yet. You can click right there on the site and go to the Midas Resources site right there, and you see Dishonest Money and American Dream. They haven't added the Obama deception to it because Ted just announced this last night. He told me on the phone last night, and then we announced it on air earlier, but that will be added there. So when you do order, you are getting the three free gifts, and just to get you into gold and silver, and so you get to know Midas Resources. Big things have small beginnings, so that is a loss leader. No one can top that deal. 800-686-2237. Ask for the three free gifts with the silver dollars. 800-686-2237.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
All right, tonight I will have a focus breakdown of false flag terror at 9/11. We're taking your phone calls right now. I want to go to George in California, listening on 960 FM KIXW. Just cut a promo for them the other day. That's a great station right there. But let's go ahead and go to Mankind in Arizona, then we'll go to George. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Mankind Divine here. How you doing, sir?
Good, my friend. What's on your mind?
Good. Not so much, man. Hey, I just wanted to give you a call and tell you, man, keep it going. I know it gets frustrating at times trying to show the truth to people. You know, they don't get it at first, but don't give up on them. You know, just like Christ didn't give up, you know, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane with his own friend sleep right next to him. You know what I mean? Don't give up.
Well, sure. I mean, plus they've created kind of a false reality where everything looks like it's okay. And you know, we're kind of in this little controlled area. We're trying to get people to realize there's more going on than they know.
Exactly. And that's exactly my point. That's one of the reasons why as soon as I woke up this morning, I actually decided to get on Facebook and put some clips from YouTube, you know, about 9/11 and stuff like that, just so people could see. And I was amazed about how many people had already done the same thing.
Exactly. We just all need to move together with the truth, and it's over for the globalist.
That's exactly my point. You, my friend Alex, you have rung the bell, and there's other people too that have rung the bell that will resonate throughout the world.
That's it. Ring the bell. Keep ringing it. We know what's going on. We understand. Like the Illuminati claimed they were going to take over secretly for liberty. That was how they recruited the best men, the good guys, to help bring them in, but not to bring freedom. To bring slavery was the big secret. I appreciate your call. Great points. Let's talk to George in California. He's a 960 FM listener, KIXW, one of our new affiliates. We've had him up for about a month. Welcome, sir. What's on your mind?
Alex, I want to thank the whole entire InfoWars team for doing a great job, first of all. What I'm hearing is, with the presidential election being only 56 days away, that the ballots are going to be counted by a company, an accounting company in Spain. Have you heard anything about this?
Well, yes, they have a company doing a lot of it that's based in Europe. They have another company based in Canada doing a lot of the counting. But I mean, it's there's a lot of fraud. It's not one company running it all, but all these big voting companies that are electronic have been caught. You know, they're sending a bunch of quote officials, public servants in Arkansas to jail who pled guilty to election fraud last week. But that's like voter fraud, voter roll fraud, dead people voting. They go after retail vote fraud. But the real fraud, the big fraud, is electronic.
Right. And this is supposed to be electronic to Spain, and there's no accountability. And there's no identifying the people who run the
Yeah,
government.
And George Soros is connected to it.
That's also what I heard.
Yeah, well, what's wrong with George Soros running voting in America and having a foreign company do it? I mean, you trust George Soros, don't you? I mean, it's not like he was a Nazi collaborator or anything. It's not like he helped round up his fellow Jews or anything. I mean, if he'd done that, he'd be a bad guy, but he didn't do that. Of course, he did, but still, he's a good guy and kind of friendly.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. Good to hear from you. I don't have time to jam in more. I apologize, but I did pretty good. Carol and Joe and Tim, love you. Sorry we're out of time, but that's it. We're going to go into retransmission now. I know XM carries. I used to do 3 hours, and I did 4 hours. And then with the nightly news, I can't really do 4 hours every day, but I like to keep that there. So it's usually my first hour re-airs in the fourth hour. So XM listeners get the second and third hour live, and then they get the first hour in the fourth hour to explain that. So I'm just explaining to people out there listening what's going on with that. But in the future, now that I have 6 new reporters on top of the others, I'll be doing special reports and anchoring sometimes But I won't always be doing the nightly news show. A lot of days we're going to go back to 4 hours. I just have have so much to do administratively that it's a little bit hard to get it all done. But our hearts and prayers go out to all those killed by the globalists on 9/11, that we will avenge you politically.